about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Well, hello everybody. I'm Huell Hauser, and here we are on this absolutely beautiful morning in front of one of the most historic and downright iconic places anywhere in our state.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
You pooped in your pants.
I pooped my pants.
What happened to you?
But Ruben, I'm in a situation here. We have to leave now.
Well, no. Can we stay a couple more minutes?
But dude, no. This is serious. I just sh**ed.
I don't know what that means.
I tried to fart and a came out. I just farted. And let's go.
You're the most disgusting person I've ever met in my life.
And now,
1776 will commence again if you try to take our firearms. Doesn't matter how many lemmings you get out there on the street begging for them to have their guns taken. We will not relinquish them. Do you understand?
Some people are just playing crazy.
Our feature presentation.
All right. Tribute to pooping your pants and the Second Amendment.
Sure.
Two great things that taste great together. Morning, everybody. A brand new Kevin and Bean show for a Thursday morning. How's everybody doing? What's going on? What's the latest? How cold and how rainy is it, by the way?
It's not that cold yet. It's like mid-50s,
but that's
it's
on the way.
Snowing that's in the grapevine now, and so they're...
Yeah. Once it gets below 40, no one can live.
Yeah.
No. So. No one has ever survived a temperature below 40. I'm watching the KNBC Channel 4 News, and they're practically in parkas. They practically have Armageddon going on.
Yeah.
They are treating it like it's a tsunami.
Well, people
you're going to be lucky to survive to Monday.
People along the coast do need to put on their swim fins because they've got those king tides again. And
those
we're
king tides
have,
are serious business.
They are. And then with the storm, they said we're going to have 40-mile-an-hour winds, and so there will be some flooding.
Sweet.
Yeah.
These king tides, by the way, all up and down the West Coast, we had them on my little island a couple of weeks ago, and it was higher tides than have ever been measured before.
Wow. Yeah, I don't remember these
That's
in
serious.
The past.
Surfers must be excited.
Yeah, I bet
Probably,
so.
Yeah.
I bet they are. So, well, I hope most of the people listening right now will survive the weekend and make it to Monday. But we know we're going to lose a few of you. We just want to say, you know, it's been great having you with us. We appreciate it. And sorry to see you die because it's going to rain. But, you know, good luck with that. Enjoy your final weekend.
Good luck with that.
I've got two stories, very brief stories today that I enjoy that both have to do with Starbucks. Starbucks in the news through no fault of their own. This isn't anything that the company has done, but they somehow are both central figures in each story. The first one is a wacky lady who coincidentally does live in Seattle, and she makes herself a New Year's resolution every year of something that she is going to do all year long. Okay. In the past, for instance, one of hers was she was only going to shop at Goodwill. She spent an entire year and only shopped at Goodwill. Now, I don't know that – I didn't read the details on that. I assume that doesn't mean groceries. I assume she means for things that you can buy at Goodwill, you know, furniture and clothes and things like that. So that was one of her projects. This year, she's decided that she is only going to eat and drink from Starbucks.
Why?
For all of 2013. I don't know.
I mean, is that a health thing? I originally thought it might
obviously
be a health thing or a financial thing.
She
but with Starbucks, it's not financial.
She says so far she spent an average of $18.79 a day on food and drinks from Starbucks. She's keeping track of all of her receipts. She says she wants to support Starbucks. She thinks it's a great company that pays good benefits even for part-time workers, so she wants to support them by giving them her money. By the way, you want to know what a whack job this lady is? Her legal name that I can only assume she changed sometime back is Beautiful Existence.
Oh, I love her now. Now I love her.
I've been going in and getting all the nutrition by the cup charts for all their serving sizes. I'm already getting a feel for what to eat. The plain nut pack is a snack because it only has 190 calories compared to, say, a piece of the pumpkin bread. She says, lucky for her, Starbucks also bought a tea business and a juice company last year, so she'll have those options too. And that's why she's doing. She's not getting paid by the company. She says she just likes to design year-long challenges for herself, and this is what she's going to do this year.
Meaningless year-long challenges.
I mean, if you could turn it into a book or something, that would be something.
And you think Beautiful Existence is going to write a book?
I don't. I don't know if Beautiful Existence has a job. What does she do?
It doesn't say. You go to all these other countries and they don't have these luxuries. Really, is it really going to be that hard for a year of my life to limit my menu? We'll find out. So she says part of it is also that she thinks Americans are spoiled and she wants to give herself fewer options, maybe in solidarity with other people who can't spend $19 a day on food and drink. I'll tell you that.
I like the Starbucks is what spoiled people do.
Fewer options, but high end.
Yeah,
you know right. what I mean. It's not like just
lady dumpster dive.
There dumpster you diving go. Would be a completely different.
There you go.
Exactly. All right, so that's thing one. Here's thing two, also related to Starbucks. And this was a weird story, also in Seattle by coincidence. The Seattle Fire Department responded to a call of a man being hit at 10:20 a.m. two mornings ago, so Tuesday morning, at 4th and Pine, very busy intersection there. He was hit by a cross-city bus. Hit so hard, by the way, that the windshield on the bus shattered when the man bounced up and hit it.
Wow.
I don't know. Yeah, I can't even envision how something like that would happen. So he's bleeding profusely, and he stands up from the accident before anybody even gets out of the bus. He jumps up from the accident, bleeding profusely from the head, and walks across the street into Starbucks and attempts to make an order, but he's had a concussion, so what? Nobody can understand what he's saying.
Oh,
it's completely incoherent for the people standing inside the restaurant. So he's at the counter bleeding from the head, doing some heavy rotation, and the Starbucks is like, I'm sorry, I don't know what it is. You go over there and ask Beautiful Existence. Maybe she can translate. He's 32 years old, making no sense. So they pick up the phone and call 911, and the firefighters come, and they take the guy away, take him to the hospital with serious injuries. And apparently he's fine now. But how bizarre is it to get hit by a bus? Would the first thing you do be to jump up and go, I got to get me that cup of coffee I was on my way to?
Maybe he really, really needed coffee to get going in the morning.
Maybe he knew he wasn't going to have coffee for a long time because he was going to the hospital.
People were speculating around here yesterday that maybe, you know, he's the first of the Walking Dead, you know.
Yeah.
Zombie walking around bleeding from the head, not being able to communicate with anybody. Must have coffee.
They're going to go right to Starbucks. Is that a tip? Is that what we
I don't know. That's what I'm wondering. All right. I wonder if Starbucks is going to be some of the zombie resistance or something. So anyway, crazy. Both crazy wow. stories, right?
Yeah, very bizarre.
Well, there you go.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
That's hilarious. You should do stand-up.
We're going to talk to Amy Kaufman from the LA Times Film. She's a film writer, and we're going to talk to her about the Oscar mm-hmm. nominations, which came out
yes.
today.
Yeah, they're this morning, going on right now.
Very exciting. We have Eddie Izzard, a comedian in the studio.
He's so good. He's so
fantastic.
Good.
Brand new internet roundup for you.
And sweet, first one of 2013.
We have our call with Dr. Drew that we
excellent.
Do weekly. That's coming up this morning as well. We'll take a break, and we will come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:51.
Big day in Hollywood. A lot of people got up early this morning to see if their name was going to be read on the TV. Ralph Garman is here with a recap of this morning's Academy Award nominations. Good morning, Ralph.
It's a wonderful night for Oscar, Oscar, Oscar.
Somebody's less drunk than yesterday.
I haven't thrown up once this morning.
Wow.
That is a good day. It is the annual morning where the first time a lot of these actors get up before dawn, ever.
Yep.
If they're not working, everybody wants to see if their name is called or not. Seth MacFarlane, my buddy, was hosting this morning along with the lovely Emma Stone. And they had some comedy. They had to do a little riffing back and forth.
Very unusual.
Doing some yucks. It's good stuff. Seth admitted he was drunk, which was good.
Good. No wonder you guys get along so well.
He congratulated the supporting actress nominees, saying they no longer had to pretend to be attracted to Harvey Weinstein, which I thought was very funny.
Because the campaigning is done.
That's
sure.
right. So here are the big five categories for Oscar. Let's start with the best supporting nominees. Best supporting actress in a feature film, Sally Field for Lincoln. Anne Hathaway, as expected, for Les Miserables. Jackie Weaver for Silver Linings Playbook. She is very funny in that film. Helen Hunt, as expected, got a nomination for her work as the sex surrogate in The Sessions. Amy Adams for The Master. Those are your supporting actress nominees. Best supporting actor, Christoph Waltz.
Love him.
Django Unchained. Philip Seymour Hoffman for his work in The Master. Robert De Niro for Silver Linings Playbook. Alan Arkin for his brilliant work in Argo. And Tommy Lee Jones and his wig for Lincoln.
Ralph, I'm just riffing here, but have all the actors in that category previously won Academy Awards
yes,
before?
Yes, they're all Oscar winners.
How the boy, I don't know if that's ever happened before.
I don't know either. As Seth said this morning, a breath of fresh air in that category.
I thought when I saw that he was just referring to how old most of them are. But now that I look at the list, it occurs to me they've also all won Oscars. That's amazing.
Yeah. Best Actress, Naomi Watts for The Impossible. Jessica Chastain for Zero Dark Thirty, Jennifer Lawrence for her work in Silver Linings Playbook, Emmanuel Riva for the foreign film Amour, and Quvenzhané Wallace for Beasts of the Southern Wild.
Oh, she's that kid? A little,
yeah,
little,
9-year-old.
Wow.
Little 9-year-old actress nominated for Best Actress. She's the youngest actress ever to be nominated for that category. And on the flip side, Emmanuel Riva is the oldest actress at 85 ever to be nominated for that,
wow,
that award.
So she was 6 when she made the movie.
Yes.
What about that?
Is good there a
point.
Question there?
Good point. What about that indeed?
How what do you about get that? To... How do you, look, you weren't a child actor, Ralph, so maybe you don't know the answer to this question, but how can a kid be that good at 6 years old?
I think kids
just
are better at
crazy,
pretending,
right?
than adults.
Yeah.
I think they say that they aren't at all self-conscious at that age.
Yeah, it's easier to get a good performance out of a kid sometimes than as an adult. Best actor nominees, Daniel Day-Lewis for Lincoln, Denzel Washington for his work in Flight, Hugh Jackman for Les Mis, Bradley Cooper nominated for Silver Linings Playbook, and Joaquin Phoenix for his work in The Master. When it comes to films, there are 9 nominees for the Best Film category. Skyfall not among them. I was surprised. I thought this year's Skyfall would be nominated.
Yeah.
Would break through, but not on the list. Beasts of Southern Wild. Amour. So a couple foreign films in the list this year, which is a nice change up for Oscar. Silver Linings Playbook got nominated. Zero Dark Thirty. Lincoln. Les Mis. Life of Pi. Django Unchained. And Argo. All nominated for Best Film.
Decent list.
Yeah. And lastly, real quickly, the Best Directors nominated. Silver Linings Playbook's director, David O. Russell. Ang Lee for Life of Pi. Spielberg, as you can imagine, for Lincoln. Michael Haneke for Amour. And Beasts of the Southern Wild, to be determined.
What does that mean?
I don't think they know who they're going to nominate for that.
I thought...
Or maybe that was for Best Film. They didn't know what the producers were going to be yet.
Oh, I got it.
Anyway, those are your early Oscar nomination news because it just happened. So there you go. If you're on your way someplace, you'll know what's going on.
Ralph, did you happen to notice that your friend Seth MacFarlane was nominated for an Oscar, too, for Best Original Song?
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Good news for Bean. Honey Boo Boo is being made into an animated superhero. That's right. In an upcoming featurette soon to be available on iTunes, Kindle, and other downloadable sources, Honey Boo Boo is being turned into an animated superhero where she becomes a flying beauty pageant hero.
Okay.
How do you turn Honey Boo Boo into more of a cartoon than she is?
No kidding.
I guess you draw her.
You guys can't believe, because you didn't see the Halloween special, you can't believe how fat that kid is now.
I'm not watching Honey Boo Boo. By the way, stop it, people who say, oh, you really should watch Honey Boo Boo.
Well, you should.
No. No.
It was a huge hit. Did you see it got over 3 million viewers?
Yeah. Well, minus one. Because I am never going to watch that show. I'm never going to watch that
You're missing
show.
But
I'm not missing a thing.
You're missing it.
You know what I know? Dumb fat. Boom. I got it. Moving on.
But dumber and fatter than you can imagine.
I can imagine plenty.
I got an imagine
active
this.
Imagination. Trust me.
I understand how you let Chubbs get fat and how Pumpkin gets fat and June doesn't care how she looks, but isn't Honey Boo Boo the money? Isn't that their ticket as the pageant girl?
Yeah, right. And the popularity really was based on her svelte figure, Bean. You're right. Whether if she gains weight, the whole circus has to pack it in.
Just a surprise.
The fatter she gets, the better it'll be.
Okay.
True.
She can make her belly button talk again or whatever the F she does. Kim Kardashian and Kanye West just bought a new home together. Well, they're going to need a bigger place with that giant baby they're going to have.
No kidding.
They just got themselves a 10,000-square-foot mansion in Bel Air, California.
That'll do.
It's got a gym, a movie theater, hair and makeup salon.
Sure.
Bowling alley.
Right.
2 pools.
Okay.
You know, just what you need for just a small family of 3.
How does any one family need 2 pools?
Because they just need more. Whatever everyone
There's
else
only
has,
gonna
they
be 3
need
of them.
More. They need more.
All right. What if I want to swim laps back and forth in the pool, Kevin, the same time you want to be in the pool? That way we each have our own pool to go to.
Can't have room for that in one pool.
Yeah, you don't get... I don't want you in my way when I'm trying to swim.
What do you think they're paying for this palace?
Oh, something like that's got to be $150,000.
Yeah, you're right. It's in the neighborhood.
At least, right?
I would guess $5
million. Try again. Why don't you double that and then add
some? What? $11
million.
Wow.
For a home. for a place where you live.
Wow.
$11 million. It's sick that either of them combined can afford that.
I think it's, yeah. I mean, he's earned it to me, but, you know.
Yeah. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Former heavyweight boxing champion George Foreman celebrates his 64th birthday today. He's going to celebrate by having a special birthday dinner with his kids, George.
You're not joking, are you?
He's named most of his children George.
Yeah.
Yeah. Singer Pat Benatar, 60 years old today. Do not hit her with your best shot anymore. You'll break her hip. Kurt Kirkwood of Meat Puppets is 54. Evan Handler, very talented actor from Sex and the City and Californication. He is 52. Jemaine Clement from Flight of the Conchords.
Love him.
Very talented guy, 39 years old today. And one of our favorites around here, the lovely and talented Sarah Shahi from Fairly Legal and Life. She celebrates her 33rd birthday today. We'll be talking to her husband, Steve Howie, at the end of the week. He's on Shameless, very talented guy. Sarah is 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Thursday means we talk to our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky with our weekly visit. That's coming up. He's charging us for those, you know, Dr. Drew. Sending
what?
Us a bill like doctors. Every time we talk to him, we get a bill.
I didn't know that.
It's kind of crappy. Plus, the great Eddie Izzard joins us. It's a big day in Hollywood. As you know, Oscar nominations less than an hour ago. Let's talk to a woman who was in the room. Writing for the Los Angeles Times, Amy Kaufman on the phone. She's on Twitter at Amy K in LA. Hi, Amy. Good morning to you.
Hey, guys.
Where were the Oscar nominations this morning?
They were at the Academy at the Samuel Goldwyn Theater over on Wilshire.
Now, I saw the photo that you tweeted this morning, and I don't know if you just caught it at a good moment, but a lot of people there seemed to be laughing and looking like they were having a good time. Was that the case with Seth MacFarlane on stage?
Yeah, it seemed like, you know, Seth was up there with Emma Stone, the actress, and they were cracking jokes and making it as lighthearted as it could have been for 5:30 in the morning or whatever. Yeah. It was.
And that was a little bit of a departure because most of the time they just have somebody play it super straight, right? They just come out and read a list of names, and Seth and Emma were looking like they were doing some shtick a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I saw Emma Stone at the premiere of her new movie Gangster Squad the other day, and she told me she was heading in for some rehearsals with him, so they must have planned out a little skit to do this morning.
Well, it's more interesting than just reading a list, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Now, one more question about the announcement before we start talking about some of the categories and some of the surprises. Not everybody, at least on the internet this morning, seems to be pleased with the job they did. I mean, they're talking about Seth MacFarlane being smug and condescending. How did it play in the room?
Wow, are they already on Twitter hating on him?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I just walked out of there. I mean, I think it's hard to tell because the people in the room are a lot of publicists and journalists who are more concerned with the content of the nominations than
right. How
Seth is doing and what that means for his hosting gig in February. But I think it went over pretty well. You know, he won't have Emma Stone by his side at the telecast, but he definitely didn't bomb. No, I thought
okay.
It was pretty good. Yeah.
All right, good enough. Why don't we start with the Best Picture category? And this is always a little bit of a mystery because we don't know until the morning they're announced even how many pictures are going to be announced this year. This year there were 9. What'd you make of them?
Right, yeah, there were 9 last year, and there were 9 again this year. Heading into it, I think there were sort of 5 or 6 that people thought were locks, you know, Lincoln and Zero Dark Thirty. And then a couple snuck in there, like Amour, the French film, which was nominated both for Foreign Language Film and for Best Picture, which was somewhat of a surprise. And Beasts of the Southern Wild, which is sort of a small independent film set in Louisiana. That was also had some people gasping in the room.
Yeah, and that's a movie that started small and kind of stayed small, but has had a rabid fan base among those who have seen it. It just has never kind of broken through to a wide audience, right?
Yeah, totally. You know, I think it's only made a few million dollars, but this is what people say about the Oscars is that for a movie like that, that was very low budget and sort of more of an art house thing, that this can really get a movie like that can get a boost from the Oscar nomination. So
that's
we'll
what
see.
You want is a movie that starts small and then stays small.
But it's I mean, that movie is one that so many people told me to see before I'd even heard of it. It really,
yeah.
You're right. It's there's such an underground swell for it.
Of course, every year there are always those locks where you wonder why they even put anybody else in the category. And the best actor has to – I mean, Daniel Day-Lewis can pretty much clear the space on his mantle regardless of who else is nominated in the best actor category, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think of all of the categories, I agree with you. I think that's the safest heading into your Oscar pool in February. If you want to put down Daniel Day-Lewis, I think you're golden. I mean,
he was dressed in those old clothes, and he had a hat and stuff and a beard. I mean, what a fool.
I was happy to see Denzel Washington in that category, not because, you know, I'm surprised that obviously, he's one of the greatest actors in the world. But that movie just seemed like it was almost like such a populist film, which the Oscars so often stay away from. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, Flight almost made $100 million. And that's actually a lot of the movies in the race this year are more commercial than in previous years. Like, even Lincoln has made, I think, almost $150 million. And if it wins, it would be the highest grossing film since, like, The Lord of the Rings won. So maybe more people will have actually seen the movies that are nominated this year as opposed to, you know, when The Hurt Locker won, I think that only had made a few million dollars.
Were you surprised some of the bigger action movies, like Skyfall, for example, it made a ton of dough, but it was also well-reviewed?
Yeah, a lot of people were hoping that would get in that last slot for Best Picture, but I guess it was overlooked. Javier Bardem has picked up a few nominations from critics groups, but I guess the Academy wasn't into Bond.
Right. We're talking to Amy Kaufman from the Los Angeles Times right now. You can read their excellent coverage online or in the paper about this morning's Academy Award nominations. Let's move on to the Best Actress category, which a lot of people who are film historians are buzzing about just because there's some history being made in this category this year. Right, Amy?
Yes, there is the oldest nominee ever and the youngest nominee ever in Emmanuelle Riva, who is from that French film Amour. She's 85 years old. And then the little girl from Beast of the Southern Wild, who is a total novice, Kevenjane Wallace, she's 9 years old. So the oldest and the youngest in one category.
They should fight. See who wins.
That would be a great way to settle it, Kevin, is just to bring him out on stage with a boxing ring. Also in the category is Naomi Watts, who apparently is just heartbreaking in The Impossible, the movie about the tsunami. Jessica Chastain from Zero Dark Thirty and Jennifer Lawrence from Silver Linings Playbook. Is there a favorite in that category as far as you're concerned, Amy?
That's definitely not as locked up as Best Actor. I think some people think it's Jessica Chastain versus Jennifer Lawrence, sort of those young Hollywood actresses vying for it, but you never know.
All right. We're not going to have time for all the major categories, even. We'll be talking more about the supporting nominations in a few minutes with Ralph Garman. But let's close with Best Director, because this is the one that people are jumping up and down and saying, how about the snubs in this category? What say you, Amy?
This is a crazy one. This is the one in the room people were freaking out about the most. I mean, heading into this morning, there's no pundit who really saw Kathryn Bigelow being excluded in any scenario. She was the director of Zero Dark Thirty. She won for The Hurt Locker, and she was snubbed, which is a huge surprise. So was Tom Hooper, the director of Les Miserables, and Ben Affleck for Argo. So those were the three major people who were left out. And instead, Ben Zeitlin, the super young guy who directed Beasts of Southern Wild, got in, and so did the director of Amour, Michael Haneke, who's, you know, obviously a veteran, but was not considered a lock. So this is crazy.
It is shocking. I mean, I have sensed that since the weekend that Argo opened, people said, wow, is this a tremendous directing effort? Because it was such a complicated movie, his Argo movie that involves so many people and locations, everything like that. And people were just blown away by the directing. I mean, it's almost like that's been a given since it came out.
I know, yeah. And people are very behind Ben Affleck in that he sort of, you know, went through his struggles in parts of his acting career with the whole Jennifer Lopez, Geely thing.
Sure.
But then, you know, started getting more serious with his directing career, and he's been on the up and up, and, you know, he had The Town, and now with Argo, everyone loved it. It was a critical darling. So it's a bit of a surprise that he's not included.
Absolutely. David O. Russell, of course, from Silver Linings Playbook, also in the category, Ang Lee for Life of Pi, and Steven Spielberg for Lincoln. So, yeah, a lot of stuff to chew over today on the Oscar nominations. And, of course, we'll have more here on the show, and you can follow continuing coverage from now all the way up until the show at thelatimes.com, and follow our guest, Amy K. in L.A. on Twitter. Amy, glad we got a chance to catch up with you. I know you're very busy today. Thanks for the time.
I appreciate it.
I don't believe we've mentioned yet today that at 9:10 this morning here on the Kevin DeBean Show, once again today, you can qualify for a trip to Australia. You can be like Dave, the King of Mexico, our producer, go down there and hunt and kill a kangaroo and eat it with your bare hands.
That's what he was on, a hunting
rip
mission.
Rip its bloody meat right out of its corpse right there on the
side
of the road.
Easy. People are eating at home, dude.
Dave did.
Anyway, we're giving you Linkin Park's latest album, Living Things, as the qualifying prize, and then there's a grand prize drawing at some point to send someone down under. It could be you. 9:10 this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and then several times throughout the day. You can get all those details at krock.com. It's the World Tour 2013 destination number one.
Yeah, down under. Yeah, man.
Australian Rough kiss.
It's like a French Rough kiss, but it's down under. Yeah.
See what you did there? Woo! See what you did there?
Woo! Yeah.
Ralph Garman is here, not hungover, not drunk. He's just ready to go with another Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. Boy, Kevin
and
Bean Show.
You show up for work drunk one day, and all of a sudden, there's a
Bean kind just won't let it grow.
It's a legend.
I was proud of you yesterday.
Thank you, man.
I was proud of you. He would run to the bathroom,
right?
Grow up,
yeah.
Run in here, do Showbiz, run right back to the bathroom.
Right. Came in, boom, did my job.
Boom.
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 You know why you do that? So that you can't say, I have a drinking problem. Because they say one of the signs of having a drinking problem is you miss work because of your drinking. So if you show up loaded and you do your job regardless, then you can keep drinking. You don't have to get yourself one of those rehabs.
Although I went to the bathroom later in the day and I heard the toilet mumbling, please don't be Ralph. Please don't be Ralph. Please don't be Ralph.
Toilet was fine. Toilet's a champ.
Toilet was abused.
Yeah. Although I was thinking after the show, I was like, you know, probably not my best show, but I came here and I quit it myself, I thought.
Right.
And then I thought, what would Kevin do in the same situation? If you were as drunk as I was yesterday, what would your show upset?
What does Kevin do every day?
Yeah, it would sound like a normal Kevin day.
That's the beauty of you. Drunk, sober, you just no drop-off.
What you're so proud of yesterday, Ralph, that you accomplished, Kevin has done 245 days in a row.
That's true.
How dare you.
Leonardo DiCaprio. This morning, the Oscar nominations were announced. It's the biggest day in Hollywood. Everyone wants to know if they're nominated for one of those golden statues. Here are the happy people, the ones who were nominated. Now they can be tense for the next 2 months until the actual awards are given out. Here are your nominees for Best Supporting Actress. Sally Field's work in Lincoln got her a nomination. Anne Hathaway. They say just the 4 minutes of her singing that song in Les Mis was what won her this nomination.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey. That's how Jennifer Hudson won her Oscar, was that one song in that one movie, remember?
Yeah. Hmm. Jackie Weaver from Silver Linings Playbook, Helen Hunt for The Session, Amy Adams from The Master, Best Supporting Actress nominations. Best Supporting Actor, Christoph Waltz nominated for Django Unchained, Philip Seymour Hoffman for The Master, Robert De Niro for Silver Linings Playbook, Alan Arkin for Argo, Tommy Lee Jones for his work in Lincoln. Best Actor is Daniel Day-Lewis, while we're talking about Lincoln. Nominated for his role as the president, Denzel Washington for Flight, Hugh Jackman for Les Mis, Bradley Cooper, Silver Linings Playbook, and Joaquin Phoenix for The Master. Best Actress, Naomi Watts for The Impossible, Jessica Chastain for Zero Dark Thirty, Jennifer Lawrence for Silver Linings Playbook, Emmanuel Riva for Amour, that's a French film in case you haven't recognized it, and Kwanzaa Wallace for Beast of the Southern Wild.
Hope she wins just so they have to try and say her name.
Kwanzaa. Yeah. Huh. That film, by the way, also nominated for Best Film. Another foreign film nominated was Amour, as we mentioned. Emmanuel Riva nominated from that film. Silver Linings Playbook also nominated for Best Picture. Zero Dark Thirty, Lincoln, Les Mis, Life of Pi, Django Unchained, and Argo all nominated for the Best Film as well. That makes 9 nominees this year for Best Film.
Okay.
Which I thought when they said we're going to start doing that again, we're going to nominate more than 5 in the category, you would start to see some more populist films get a nod, at least as sort of an acknowledgement to their success and quality. But it has not been the case. Like Skyfall, for example. I thought this year Skyfall, a Bond movie, might sneak in. But does not seem to be the case. Although these are all excellent films. You can't really complain about anybody being nominated.
It's worth pointing out again, though, the tremendous snub for That's My Boy.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yes. How did that
I don't see it anywhere on there. No Sandler, nothing.
Nothing. Best Director nominees, Silver Linings Playbooks, David O. Russell, Ang Lee for Life of Pi, Steven Spielberg for Lincoln, Michael Haneke for Amour, and Ben Zeitlin for Beasts of the Southern Wild. So those are your nominations. Again, people talking about the fact that Affleck not nominated as director for Argo, which a lot of people expected to happen. For Zero Dark Thirty, Catherine Bigelow, not nominated as well.
It is weird when the movie's
nuts.
When the movie's nominated, but not the director.
There shouldn't even be a director's category. If you're nominated for Best Film, they should give an Oscar to the director of that film, whatever.
That's a good point.
That wins.
Yeah.
Because unlike any other role in movie making, you cannot say this is one of the best films of the year without giving
an enormous amount of credit to the director who that film together and put it up on the screen.
But I think sometimes they differentiate because there are movies, let's face it, that are far more difficult to direct than others. They're fantastical. Like Life of Pi is a perfect example. I don't know anybody who loved that movie, but people looked at it and said, wow, that must have been very difficult to make. And that's why Ang Lee gets the nod, I think.
Yeah. But then why have 9 nominees for Best Film and 5 nominees for Best Director if you're saying all 9 of these films in their own right have achieved
what
could be
filmmaking,
considered the best motion picture achievement of the year? And then you're saying, well, those directors for those other 4 films didn't do good enough work
system,
to be acknowledged?
That's for sure.
It's kind of ridiculous, if you ask me. You know, Dave in the other room's going nuts. Just
Why?
Losing his mind.
Why?
Well, you know, Dave's obsessed with seeing everything in HD. If it's not in HD on his television, he won't watch.
Yeah.
How long did he rant and rave about The Amazing Race not being in HD?
Daily for
Forever.
5 years.
It was like a lion with a thorn in his paw.
Yeah.
Oh, why isn't it not the HD version of Amazing Race?
It's not my fault.
Why is Amazing Race not in HD? I can't watch it. Just furious everything's not in HD.
It is hard to watch sports not in HD once you get used to it.
Now Amazing Race is in HD.
Yes, it is.
He's very
sure.
happy. Everything he wants to see is in HD.
So what's wrong?
Well, he's upset because at the Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas, Samsung is debuting Ultra HD.
Uh-oh.
Which makes HD look like you're watching it through poop. Like they're watching TV through poop.
Is that their slogan?
That's what they're saying.
HD sucks now.
1080p? Ha! Is what they're saying.
That's the best we have so far.
Oh, no, no, no. Now we have Ultra HD.
Come on.
1080p is high-definition television. Ultra HD has 4 times the pixel count of 1080 HD.
Well, that sounds way better then.
4 times the pixel count. That makes it 4 times sharper, 4 times clearer, 4 times more lifelike.
You can suck it!
Ultra HD. Now they're like, oh, now I'm not watching everything in the best HD.
Now he needs the Ultra
now
HD.
Now he needs Ultra HD until next year when they come up with Super Deluxe Ultra
right.
HD.
That's the way they get you.
Which actually just burns the image into your eyeballs with a laser pistol. He's very upset. Anyway, Samsung says you can get the 85-inch Ultra HD TV. We'll ship later this year for a mere $20,000.
That's it?
That's all.
Huh.
$20,000 for the Ultra HD television.
But at least they're not making any movies in Ultra HD.
Well, you know.
So that's good.
Everything looks better in Ultra HD. I love it.
Aww.
Dave doesn't have it. I got 2 of them at home.
You're not even using one.
I watch one behind me, one in front of a mirror in front of me so I can watch the one behind me as well.
Next time Dave comes to visit me, I got to take him to a friend of mine's house who has a black and white television and does not have cable. Watches network TV on black and white.
Wow.
How about that guy?
How can you be friends with that person?
I'm fascinated. He's just not a big TV watcher at all.
No, he's a big douchebag is what he is.
Never felt the need to upgrade. But, I mean, you don't run into too many of those people here in the 21st century, do you?
Why have a television?
He is the opposite of Dave in every way.
He's had the TV for decades. He grew up with this TV and still uses it. Never bought
God.
A new one.
I want to go to this person's house and beat him with a ball-peen hammer.
I can just about walk. I can't hardly walk. I can't see too far, and I can't hear too good.
That's a guy just being obstinate be the guy with the black and white television.
No,
that's
not
that guy.
He's not like him at all.
You can get
he's
a color
like
television for $4 at Costco.
He just
get a goddamn color television.
Yeah, he has a palette of them, but
update to color. You know,
he's a guy.
You know the technology that has 1965 in America? Get that television, you douchebag. Get him on the phone right now. I want to talk to this guy.
He's just super, super thrifty. I think his car is almost 20 years old, too. He's just one of those guys
Your
who just doesn't replace stuff.
Your friend is an asshole.
Why? He doesn't care about it. It's not important to him.
Your friend is an asshole.
He doesn't watch sports, which is the argument I always make about how can you not have
now
cable?
You're winning you over. Now I like this guy.
Yeah. No, what I'm saying is that's guys like you and me would go, well, you have to have cable, if nothing else, for sports, right? He doesn't watch sports, doesn't care about it, so doesn't have any need in his mind to upgrade. So he's still using a black and white TV from the 60s.
He should die.
I'm just saying Dave would kill him if he met him,
and
I think.
Dave would be acquitted by a jury of his peers.
I would like to use Ralph's murder button here if I could.
Absolutely.
All right. I don't have it, but I would like to use it.
So when you stopped me and said you'd like to use it, there was no intention of actually using it?
Correct, yes.
Oh, okay.
But I will have it soon.
I would like fresh chocolate chip cookies right out of the oven now for dreaming.
It's like somebody saying, hey, would you like $5? Yes, I would. I don't have any money on me. Well, then why did you even say so, sir? Today's celebrity birthdays. One of my favorites, Sarah Shahi. She's just everything. She's just got it all. Just adorable.
Murder.
Too late. You Rob, and the black and white TV guy should get together.
Would you like to say happy birthday to Miss Sarah Shahi on the phone right now?
What the what?
No, you can't because she's not there. But she's not there.
He's just asking.
Well, we're just talking about things we'd all like.
Yeah. Anyway, love Sarah. She is 33 years old today. Jermaine Clement from Flight of the Conchords is 39.
Oscar winner, by the way, Jermaine Clement.
All right.
All right.
Remember he won for that song from the Muppet movie?
I thought that was Brett.
Yeah, they're the same.
That was Brett.
Whichever one
I believe
are.
Brett won the Oscar.
And by the way, they
they're not the same at all.
Nope, they're two separate guys. Guy. Brett, I believe, wrote that Oscar-winning
Jermaine
song.
Jermaine Clement, he knows an Oscar winner.
Yeah. All right.
A lot of interrupting going on with you, Ralph. And
nothing, very little help.
No reason for it.
Nope. Evan Handler from Sex and the City and Californication is 52 years old.
Slowing you down.
Kirkwood of Meat Puppets is 54. Pat Benatar turned 60 years old today. George Foreman, legendary former heavyweight boxing champ, turned 64. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
The hilarious headliner for April Foolishness 2012, Eddie Izzard, joins us in studio next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, Dr. Drew. Hey, I know we got a lot of stuff to take care of this hour, but I just want to mention, if you're a young person in school right now and you can get college credit for an internship, here's an outstanding opportunity for you to have a really crappy job with terrible hours where you get no money.
Oh, you know how to sell it.
I mean, that's what everybody's looking for. You got to get up in the middle of the goddamn night for zero, right, to come work on the Kevin and Bean Show. But we are once again open for business if you are interested in being an intern. And I joke, but I will tell you that there have been quite a few people who have come through the doors here at K-Rock, interning for us and other departments around the radio station, who have gone on to make careers in the music business as a result of just getting that foot in the door, being introduced to that world through an internship. It's a great way to go.
But not through our show, right?
I mean,
come on now.
I think Dave, the King of Mexico, might have started as an intern or maybe answering phones or something like that. He's now producing. He's running the thing. Yeah. We're basically doing whatever he says.
Most of them quit in disgust, though, right?
Well, of course they do. And I'm going to be honest, that you do get college credit for it, but it's not a great job. You do go out. You do drive to Wendy's most days. I mean, that's essentially what you're going to be doing. But you do get to hang around. You get to do things and meet people and see things and have fun and sue us later. I mean, there's a lot of things to look forward to. So if you'd like to be a Kevin and Bean intern, if you're in school, you can get credit for it. We are currently accepting applications. You can get the details, everything you need to know at kevinandbean.com. And if it's something you think you might enjoy, please check it out.
If you're in your car, it's kbinterns@krock.com. Go ahead and text that to us
while you're driving. No, I'm just kidding.
So we just took a long vacation, and Dave, the King of Mexico, is a huge Clippers fan. And the Clippers are doing pretty well.
Better than they've ever done in their history, would you say?
Yeah.
This might be the best team they've ever had. And a guy like Dave, who's been a fan forever, you have to be happy for him that now he's finally got a team worth cheering over.
I'm happy for every other Clipper fan.
You're not happy for Dave?
I'm not happy
for Dave. Your friend
Dave? Because I'm losing a lot of money to him. Yeah. We bet every year on the Lakers-Clippers. And granted, it would take 12 seasons for him to catch back up to what I've, you know, he's paid me.
But it still hurts to peel off those 20s every once in a while.
That's not a fun thing. And the Lakers aren't exactly looking like they're going to turn it around and run the table.
Mm-hmm.
Having all kinds of problems. So we did compile a list of Afro calls that Dave made. And Dave, by the way, had been saving and saving and saving for 2 to 3 years so that he could go to Australia. That was his big plan over the holiday. I'm going to Australia. I want to hug a wombat. Don't ask. But even in Australia, he would call the Afro line. So we put together some of his calls to the Afro line as he continues to rub it in my face, the Laker fan, that the Clippers are doing really well. Lakers, not so much.
Kevin and Bean, Dave the King of Mexico. I know you guys are on vacation, but I just don't know if you noticed that Clippers have won 10 in a row, baby. Woo!
Thanks for keeping track of that while you're gone. Appreciate it.
Kevin and Bean, 11 in a row.
All right. Thanks for that update.
Kevin and Bean, hey, how's it going? Dave the King of Mexico, calling you from Australia. What do you think, dude? 13 in a row? Huh?
So this is what Dave is doing while he's on vacation.
Yes!
Is taunting you, essentially, by making these phone calls. Because, look, we all have TVs and the internet.
Yeah.
We knew the Clippers were winning games. We didn't need Dave to call to tell us that.
Kevin and Bing, King of Mexico! 14 in a row, baby, Clipper Nation! Rep LAC, baby!
Yeah, I got that.
Hey, Kevin, Dave. In Australia.
Yep.
Hey, we don't get ESPN over here. Do you know if the Clippers won 15 in a row?
How dare you?
How dare you? They did it, baby! They did it! 16-0 in December! 16-0 in December! Clipper Nation, baby! That's 17 in a row! Suck it, Kevin! You guys better play my song when you come back! Clipper Nation, baby!
Easy, man!
Look, Dave's getting all attitude-y, isn't he?
Look,
about his Clippers.
He's a sore winner, let's be honest. But he's been a good loser for a long, long, long time.
Yes, forever.
And dedicated, too. He's not a fair weather fan at all. I mean, when the Clippers had the worst record in the NBA, Dave still loved them.
The Laker era is over! Lakers could suck it! Kevin, pay the man! Clipper Nation, baby!
Yeah, I had to pay him when he got back.
Kevin Bean, King of Mexico.
All right.
Did you see the game tonight? Another victory from the Los Angeles Clippers.
Okay,
13 in a row at home, baby. How did the Lakers do tonight? Oh, not so well. Oh, we played good. Play my song. Clipper Nation, baby. I'm out.
I wish he was out, but
if we play a song, you stop calling.
Good turn off the bass in my headphones. Lob City, what up? All right, let's do this. Clipper Nation, represent. Ain't nobody messing with my clips. Clips, 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 clips. Ain't nobody fresher than my mother loving clips. Clips, 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 clips. As I look around, they be jockeying on my clips. Clips, 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 clips. And all the Clipper Nation, man, they want that. They want that.
You can hate all you want, but I will not stop. You can hate all you want, but I will not stop. When it comes to my clips, you know I'll always be down. Believe.
Okay. Clippers are so thirsty.
Swag.
They're gonna show no mercy.
Swag.
On the way to the championship for the very first time. Clippers are so thirsty.
Swag.
They're gonna show no mercy.
Swag.
On the way to the championship for the very first time.
Griffin with that dunk, make that rim shake. CP3 crossover, watch them ankles break. Give it to Crawford, watch the shake and bake. Dish it out to Butler, he'll hit that tray. Say yay, say yay, when the clips win every day, yay. Got a great bench that's gonna play, yay. Grant Hill and Bledsoe is all I got to say, yay. People gonna hate, but that will be okay, yay. Clips the best team in LA, yay. Open Staples Center's doors up. We have to fill all the seats up. And cheer on the team that is the best. Not only in LA, but in the West. I step into the building like I'm the sheesh. Screaming, play hard, and never quit. We don't get no press, so we'll win press lists. Bless my team, make your team look like the Bobcats. Now everybody is jumping and cheering. Rise up, Dave the King of Mexico, DJ Omar Khan, I'm out! Oh, yeah!
Of course. So we got that working for us.
All right.
Yep, that just happened. Eddie Izzard, next hour, Dr. Drew on the Kevin and Bean Show, and your chance to maybe go to Australia to see Linkin Park. That's at 9:10 this morning. We'll qualify you. Hey, quick correction. I made a mistake, and Sean in the LBC corrected me. I was talking about the Clippers 17 games in a row. I was
right.
Talking about how that was their longest streak ever. Hey, Bean, I'm sorry to correct you if you're wrong. Please let the King of Mexico know also that the 17-game winning streak that the Clippers had this season is not the franchise longest. They have had losing streaks of 20, 19, and 17 twice. Suck it, Dave. Clips will always be the little stepbrother, says Sean. So there
well,
you go.
Yeah.
Was that this year?
No, shut up.
Turns out, no.
All right, here's a story I wanted to bring up because, let's face it, gun control is very much in the news right now. Vice President Biden is meeting with the NRA today, as a matter of fact, as the, you know, the president put him on task to form a committee to try to come up with some recommendations that Americans can agree on, which is impossible.
When you're serious about something, you send Biden.
You said Joe Biden. Absolutely, yeah. A lot of people, they kind of have reached the tipping point on all the mass shootings because they seem to be happening, it seems like every other week there's another mass shooting. And, of course, the Newtown one really set people back because there are so many little kids involved. So people are asking a lot of questions about guns. And some people are suggesting, hey, the problem is – and, by the way, I'm not saying I don't understand this way of thinking. The problem is that more people don't have guns. If more people had guns – the bad people with guns would have a lot more people to mow through in order to do their damage, right?
Yeah.
Because you'd run into more people who could fight back. And that's interesting because I see stories all the time, like this story out of Gillette, Wyoming, where a guy got into a scuffle over a parking space. Somebody had parked too close to his car, and he started talking back to him about it, right? Hey, what are you doing? I'm trying to get out of my car. I can't get out, right? And the guy pulled a gun on him.
Yeah.
Right? And that, and you're seeing stories like that happening.
Sometimes you have to regulate when you're in a parking lot.
Guy pulled a gun on him. The guy ended up, by the way, being arrested by the police for pulling the gun at him. So apparently it did get rather heated and turned into a threatening situation. And I'm sure that's a difficult line to walk. Like, how do you pull a gun and not make it a crime?
Yeah.
Right? Because the whole reason you have a gun is to be able to protect yourself. Well, anyway, the reason I bring this up is every situation changes fast when somebody has a gun pointed at you, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it was a little shocking how many of us on the show have had guns pulled on us.
Percentage-wise, yeah. It's stunning.
It's like 50%. We started telling stories, and I was like, I had a gun pulled on me. And Dave's like, I had a gun pulled on me. And we're like, what the hell?
I mean, look, in the one minute you're shouting down a guy over a parking space, and what's the worst that could happen is two guys are going to hit each other, right? There's going to be a fight. Now somebody pulls out a gun, and all of a sudden the equation changes very, very quickly. And I don't know, it's been a long time since we've done this phone topic, but I would love to hear from people who have been in situations where they had a gun pulled on them, and it was a big surprise to them, not something that they were expecting. You're not a police officer chasing bad guys. You're just a regular person going about your life, and there's a misunderstanding or you're wrong place, wrong time. So all of a sudden, you've got a gun pointed at you. We want to hear your stories at 1-800-520-1067. I'm not at all surprised to hear this has happened to you, Kevin.
Yeah, it's happened to me. I was we were toilet papering a guy's house, our basketball coach's house.
I knew somehow you were responsible for it.
And he had a huge butt, this guy. So his nickname was Buns. We called him Buns, Coach Buns, because that cracked us up. So one day we went to the store. We bought enough hamburger buns to cover his house. We got on the roof, and we were putting hamburger buns all over the place.
My God.
Which pretty much sums up my whole childhood.
I would be your friend. God.
But I was standing in the front yard doing that, and I didn't hear anything. I just felt a gun barrel on my head.
Oh, dude.
Jeez. And some dude, some older guy goes, "What are you doing?"
This was Buns who had the gun?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't Coach Buns. Buns was out of town. This was Buns' neighbor.
Oh.
Buns' neighbor holding a gun to my head. And
that
he said, what are you doing?
To
and
a
then,
kid's head.
To a kid's head. I was probably a freshman in high school, maybe.
Oh,
that's
God.
Kind of an overreaction to somebody who's just clowning around at a dude's house. You weren't breaking in or anything like that. You weren't spray painting the house, right?
You're not just putting stuff on the roof. Not only that, but what are you doing is a question that really doesn't need to be asked, because if you look around, it's pretty obvious what we're doing. So I was stupid. I still am stupid. But at that point, I thought I was mad at the guy for pulling a gun on me because I'm just putting buns on a guy's house. How much damage can I be doing? So I was upset at him. I started talking back. I was like, toilet papering a house. What does it look like? Like being an a-hole. He's like, get out of here.
You said that with a gun to your head.
I told you I'm stupid.
That's
ballsy.
Well, no, it wasn't ballsy. It was...
He wasn't going to shoot.
It was... I can't believe this guy would put a gun to my head over something so stupid. And that was my first reaction, was to be angry. My second reaction was, hey, I could die. But that one came later. That reaction came.
Yeah, I was wondering if it hit you later.
It did later,
crazy dangerous that situation and how differently that could have turned out.
Maybe 2 seconds later. I mean, it wasn't long before I realized, wait a minute, this guy actually has a gun in my head. But that's crazy, right?
Yes, it is. And I hope that you have the parents' revenge and that your kids are the worst teenagers in the world. I really do hope that you find out what it's like to be a parent.
Oh, Coach Buns deserved it.
1-800-520-1067. Nicole, you hang on. We're going to go to you. Please don't go away. Dave, how about you? How'd you end up with a gun?
Well, mine was a little different. We were walking through the hood, you know, as we did when we were kids.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And a car pulls up. And then next thing you know, what comes out of the window is a gun. The guy gets out of the car, puts it right in my chest, and says, hey, where are you guys going? We're like, to our buddy's house. And he goes, all right, give me all your stuff. And I was like, okay, here's my phone. It sucks, so go ahead, have
that.
Take
it. I'm glad you got a new one.
Here's my chain. It's fake, so here you go. So he goes, really? And he threw it down, and then got back in the car and walked.
What a bummer. That guy went, oh, that's such a waste.
I was like, oh, all right. Yeah.
Got robbed at gunpoint.
Sort of. He didn't take anything because everything I had was crappy, or at least that's what I told him. And they just took off. I mean, I guess they were looking for a score real quick, and then me and my buddy were just
they
like,
saw you and they went drugs.
Yeah.
let's get this guy.
So Lisa, you're a no. You were in the proximity of a gun being held at somebody else, as was I, but no gun pointed at you.
No.
Not directly. All right, do we have time to talk to Nicole, or do we have to wait and come back?
Let's wait and come back. We'll come right back.
Okay, Nicole, Derek, you hang on. Everybody else, here's the number, toll-free, 1-800-520-1067. Wasn't in your plans for that day, but you ended up with a gun pointed at you. We want to hear your stories next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
That is the band you might get a chance to see in Sydney, Australia. Listen at 9.
It has to be said.
Wow, nice delivery.
Over ruined the name of that country for all of us forever.
Nice delivery, Bean.
Listen at 9:10 and then again at 12:10, 3:10, and 6:10 for your chance to score Linkin Park's album Living Things, and you get on the standby boarding list for that trip to Australia.
Well, it happened to Kevin when he was a teenager, happened to Dave when he was younger as well. They had a gun pulled on them, and that's the topic on the table here today at 1-800-520-1067. Not in the line of duty, not in war, not as a police officer, but just as a civilian minding your own business, wrong place, wrong time. Somebody pulled a gun on you. That's what we're talking about here, and we promised we'd get to Nicole, and she is up first on line one. Everybody else, hang on. We'll get to you as fast as we can. Nicole, thanks for hanging. What's going on?
Hi, good morning, guys.
Hi.
So this was back when I was in college, still living at my parents' house. I came home really late one night, and a guy popped up out of the rose bushes and pulled a gun on me, asked for all my money, everything, and then he asked for my car. He said, give me your car keys. I'm taking your car. And
wow.
So sure enough, yeah. So I gave him my car keys, crying hysterically, freaking out. And as he's leaving with my car keys and all my money, he turns around and goes, do you need one of these keys to get back into your house?
Oh, how considerate. That's a very considerate robber.
I was so shocked. I was like, yeah. And then so he had me point out which one was my house key. And he took it off my key ring, gave it back to me.
That's crazy.
Did he cut a rose off of the bush that he was in and give it to you as well?
Did they ever catch the guy? Did you get your car and stuff back?
Oh, yeah. I grew up in Chatsworth, and it was a really nice neighborhood, but they found my car, like, completely stripped over by a restaurant, and like weeks later.
I withdraw the question. Thank you very much, though, for calling, Nicole. We appreciate it. Let's go to Jacob, line six. Jacob, I don't think, was the victim of a crime. He was just not who they were looking for. Hey, Jacob, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, Lisa May and everybody else?
Hello.
Lisa May and the people who don't matter. What's going on?
Exactly. Well, I mean, I've had a gun pulled out on me twice, and the most interesting one was I was in a bad neighborhood walking down the street. I look a certain way. My friends look a certain way. Some guy pulled up, jumped out of the car, pulled a gun out on me, and, you know, asked me some questions. I said, no, I wasn't that person, or I wasn't affiliated to that organization. Got back in the car. We drove off, went to my friend's party, and I turned to my friend who was the hosting, and I said, hey, man, I just had a gun pulled out on me, blah, blah, blah. This is what happened. And then all of a sudden, from behind the bar, I see the same dude that pulled a gun out on me. He's like, oh, I'm sorry, man. I thought you were somebody else.
Oh, wow.
We cool?
But let's hang out. Let's get together sometime. Great story. Thank you very much.
Hey, I just remember I got a gun pulled on me when I was working at that radio station, too. Remember when they mistook me for some criminal because I showed them I didn't have a tattoo on my chest?
Oh, no,
they pulled a gun on me, arrested me that time, too.
Twice.
Yeah.
That's had a gun.
Twice.
There is something about Kevin that makes you want to shoot him. I don't know what it is. I know that feeling, though. Let's go to Ross. Ross is on line five. Kevin and Bean Show here on K-Rock for Thursday morning. Ross, welcome.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What happened?
All right, this is kind of a story where I kind of got myself into the situation a little bit. I was driving down the 22 freeway, and me and my buddy accidentally cut this guy off. So he ended up getting off at the same exit as us. And he's looking over, he's talking all kinds of crap, you know. So I actually jumped out of the car to go, you know, to go fight him. And I reached in to grab him, and I had a gun on my forehead.
So I
just kind of backed away, ran back to the truck, and then when I jumped in my truck, or my buddy's truck, he didn't even move. He was like a deer in headlights.
Wow.
So you're like, go, 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 go.
Yeah, I'm telling him, go, go, go.
That's the wrong time to freeze.
This is interesting. I'm glad you called, Ross, because I understand that road rage happens, and I understand how mad people get, but it's usually partly because they have the safety of being in a car, and it's not really dangerous because you can be as mad as you want and drive like an a-hole because you've got this big car around you. Very few people have the guts to get out of the car and carry it into the street and get up close to the person that they're fighting with on the road. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Gun to the forehead. All of a sudden, you're not so tough.
Yeah, no kidding. Go, 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 go. All right. Thank you, Ross. Appreciate that. Let's try Ernie next. Ernie's on line 4. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened to you?
Well, how you doing, Kevin and Bean, Lisa May?
Hi.
I was working at a store and actually hooked up with one of my coworkers. We'd worked together pretty much since the store opened. And a new assistant manager came on board. And what ended up happening was I guess he had the hots for, but nobody knew except for the general manager. And we hooked up and came back to work a couple days later after being off, and the events of the day kind of got him worked up, you know, pissed off customers and all that stuff. So anyways, he called me in the back room, back storeroom, and I go in the back storeroom, and he pulled the gun on me and was shaking, you know, really nervously, and pretty much was dead set on, you know, making his point known. And she walked into the back about a minute or two later. You know, I'm kind of standing there with a gun in my face, and he runs out to the back door, and
Tell me the truth there. There was a puddle of pee too, right?
You know, at 20 years old, I was definitely shaking on the bridges, and it was about 2 years before I went in the Army. So
yeah. of the three of you in that story, the assistant manager, you and the girl, how many of you were still working there a week later?
He was fired. And I ended up leaving about 2 weeks later.
Oh, wow. Yeah, tough situation. All right, thanks very much. Let's do we don't have time for any more, do we? That's too bad. Can we talk to Margaret real quick?
Yeah, let's talk to a woman.
I'm fascinated with somebody who's a victim of a bank robbery. Margaret, thanks for calling. What happened real quick?
Okay. What happened was I was the target for a gang. So what they had to do was to rob me. So they literally
Wait, you mean to get jumped into the gang? That was what they had to do, is go to your bank and rob you?
Rob me. I was just, they found out that I was, because I was robbed. It happened, you know, I don't remember. This was like in 1982. It happened, you know, in a week, I would say, I don't know, anywhere between 2 and 4 times, you know. I just can't remember. But
Four times a week?
Yeah, it happened with that week. When they finally,
hey, get a new bank! Yeah.
It was insane. They finally busted them, but it was crazy. It was crazy.
So every guy who wants to get into the gang has to rob poor Margaret at gunpoint?
Yes.
You're the least lucky person in the world. How do you win that honor?
Margaret's like, all right, you pulled the gun. Go get in the gang. Let me take next customer, please.
Hey, tell little Squinty I said hi. I'll see you guys this weekend. He's the great Eddie Izzard here yet, Ralph?
He is.
Mr. Izzard, you know.
He is. He made it in. He somehow managed to get through the wind and the rain and just...
He'll probably die when he leaves.
Horrible conditions that LA's having to suffer with today.
Well, it's unfit for man or beast out there. It's a miracle that any of us are here.
When someone like Eddie comes from England where they have actual weather, right, and he watches all these Los Angelinos just cowering because it's 40 degrees and there's a breeze.
There are people who won't go to work today because it's just too treacherous to be outside right now. This is considered a nice summer day for Eddie, so he's having the time of his life. Anyway, he's one of the funniest guys we know, and he joins us right after the top of the hour here on KROQ. First, though, Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat.
Yeah, by the way... just a real quick poll of the room.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. This new show, OMG Insider, that's some BS, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
Worst title ever for a show?
I've seen the ad for it, that's all.
The Insider used to be a behind-the-scenes Hollywood type, Entertainment Tonight type television show. Yeah. Well, they've taken that off the air, they've rebooted it, and they've brought it back as OMG Insider.
Yeah, that's whoever's involved in that
worst
should be drummed out
ever,
of television.
Right?
Absolutely.
How can
Insider.
You love it? It's crap.
OMG, Insider.
See how they hipped it up, though, Ralph.
It's so cool now because they're yes. using some of the initials right. that the kids use when they text each other now.
Okay. 15 years ago.
15 years ago. How? Nothing's more desperate than O-M-G. Some corporation trying to slap something on the title of their show to make it sound hip.
What about you their LOL
become,
segment?
You become unhip immediately when you true. Desperately try to become hip.
It's also time to let OMG go. Once they start using it, you go, all right, that's gone.
FML. That's what I say.
All right.
FML for OMG Insider. People are asking. I want to give a quick shout out. Yeah, Hollywood Babylon's coming back. We've been off for a couple weeks, but is the first Hollywood Babylon of the new year. Saturday night at the John Lovitz Theater. Kevin Smith and I will be doing our hilarious look at all things entertainment at 8 p.m. Saturday night at thelovitz.com. You can go there for info and for tickets. But Smith and I getting back on the horse, although he's very upset today.
Why?
Because his buddy Ben Affleck got snubbed
yes, he did.
By the Academy for Best Director.
Argo got nominated.
Argo got
not,
nominated for Best Film.
But not him.
Affleck got snubbed for Best Director.
That was kind of shocking.
To which my buddy Kevin this morning tweeted, so Argo directed itself? Question mark. Kind of sad. Let's take a look at the rest of the Oscar nominations that were released this morning. As I mentioned, Mr. Affleck not nominated for Best Director. However, David O. Russell was for Silver Linings Playbook. Ang Lee for Life of Pi. And that's a pretty impressive piece of work, that Life of Pi.
Is it?
With the
seen
with
it.
The computer graphics, the animation, and everything else that goes into telling that story. Mm-hmm. It's a fantastic film. Spielberg, as expected, was nominated for Lincoln. Michael Haneke, Amour. And Ben Zeitlin nominated for Beasts of the Southern Wild. This Beasts of the Southern Wild, by the way, had been a critical favorite all year long, and now it's just getting Oscars heaped upon it. It's nominated for Best Film, as is Amour, also nominated for Best Picture this year. Silver Linings Playbook, Zero Dark Thirty, Lincoln, Les Mis, Life of Pi, Django Unchained, and Argo, all nominated for Best Film for the Oscars. Best Actor nominees, Daniel Day-Lewis for his work as Lincoln, Denzel Washington for Flight, Hugh Jackman for Les Mis, Bradley Cooper, Silver Linings Playbook, and Joaquin Phoenix for The Master. Best Actress, Naomi Watts for The Impossible, Jessica Chastain for Zero Dark Thirty, Jennifer Lawrence for Silver Linings Playbook, Emmanuel Riva for Amour, and Kwanzaa Wallace, Beasts of the Southern Wild. She is the youngest.
She needs a nickname or something, right?
Yeah. Q-Dub, that's what I call her.
Q-Dub?
Q-Dub. She is the youngest actress ever nominated for Best Actress. At the age of 9, she was 6 years old when she made the film.
Wow.
And Emmanuel Riva, by the way, from Amour, is the oldest actress at 85 ever to be nominated for an Oscar. So you have the entire gamut from young to old there. Best Supporting Actor nominations, Christoph Waltz for Django Unchained.
He was great in that.
I know.
He's great in everything.
Oh, so good.
He's just one of those actors, you know? You put him in a film, it automatically gets better.
So good.
Except for Green Hornet. Philip Seymour Hoffman, The Master. Robert De Niro, Silver Linings Playbook, Alan Arkin for Argo, and Tommy Lee Jones for Lincoln. Also nominated for Best Wig, by the way, is Tommy
Lee Jones.
Is that
right? Jones. I didn't realize that.
Which
I
found surprising, because I kept looking at that movie saying, someone get the wombat off of his head. It's very distracting. Best Supporting Actress, Sally Field for Lincoln, Anne Hathaway for Les Mis, Jackie Weaver from Silver Linings Playbook, Helen Hunt for The Sessions, Amy Adams for The Master. So those are your big nominations for the Oscars. Good news. I was just told that there is a country song about Honey Boo Boo.
Oh, you love country.
Uh-huh. Of course there is.
And you love Honey Boo Boo.
Brad Paisley apparently debuted it on our buddy Jimmy Kimmel's show last night. We'll be bringing you that in the next hour. We're out of time now, but I will hunt down a copy of that. And then you can literally hear my head explode on the radio for the first time. Because I also found out that they're not only giving Honey Boo Boo her own comic book. Blue Water Productions has announced the Honey Boo Boo comic book.
Wow.
But the next step, of course, is to turn her into an animated superhero. There is a featurette that will be available on iTunes, Kindle, and other downloadable sources soon, featuring Honey Boo Boo, who turns into a flying beauty pageant-themed superhero and fights crime.
Nope.
She is faster than a speeding cheese ball, apparently. She can eat spaghetti in under 3 minutes.
Some people happening? Are just playing crazy.
The hell's happening with this Honey Boo Boo thing?
Yeah. She's a phenomenon. She's dead sexy, Ralph.
To talk about the Oscars and Honey Boo Boo in the same day really does show you just the gamut of American entertainment.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthday is Sarah Shahi. How much do we love her?
She's all the best.
Fairly Legal. Life. 33 years old today. Her husband is Steve Howie from Shameless. He's pretty dreamy himself. They're a good-looking couple. He'll be in on Friday, tomorrow, to talk
about. Why isn't he your mortal enemy, Ralph?
Because I think he's really funny and he's really talented. He's a good guy.
So you're willing to let him have a piece of your girlfriend?
I think they some people marry up, some people marry down, and then some people are able to find just, boom, they're equal and they make the perfect couple.
Right.
And I think Sarah and Steve are one of those couples.
So you'll allow it?
I'll allow that, yeah. Jermaine Clement from Flight of the Conchords is 39 years old.
He won an Oscar!
No, he did not, Kevin. No. No, it was his partner, Brett, from that band who won the
Same
Oscar.
Same thing.
No. Evan Handler, Sex and the City and Californication. He is 52. Kurt Kirkwood from Meat Puppets is 54. George Foreman, former heavyweight boxing champ, is 64 years old today. And legendary rock and roll icon Pat Benatar turned 60 years old today.
Hit me with your best shot. Why don't you hit me with your best shot?
Man, I had the hot for Pat Benatar back in the day. Boy, she was a sexy little minx. And that voice, she had a huge voice. And she's, I swear to God, she is 2 feet 1 inch tall.
I don't think that's accurate.
She's Barbie sized. She is not a big girl. And yet she has a big, big voice. Still sings well, too. I caught her not too long ago. She's 60 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
All right, you guys, up your game a little bit, because Eddie Izzard is in the studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning.
Let's all be well-behaved. Mr. Izzard, welcome back, sir. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
Eddie is here because he's got some works in progress, he's calling it, at the Largo. You are going to be there tonight, and then Monday, Tuesday, I guess the next couple of weeks, couple of Mondays, couple of Tuesdays, and a Wednesday thrown in there. What's a work in progress all about? What's this mean, Eddie?
Well, it's my new tour called Force Majeure. It's starting in about March, and I do work in progress gigs, which where I'm developing, the stuff may be all over the place, but I'm sort of developing up the new show. So I'm
trying stuff out.
Yeah, trying stuff out, going off on tangents. There could be big periods where I'm just staring at you.
Good, good.
I'm talking about human sacrifice, which I'm really getting into. It's just such an interesting place to start the show. That's where I start the show.
Start the show with human sacrifice.
Yeah, I mean, because it is a something. We know we did it, and then we tailed off. Obviously, the liberals were coming in saying, enough of the human sacrifice, and people saying, oh, it's such a liberal thing. You just don't want this. We need this. The gods need this. And actually, I haven't even talked about it from that angle. That's quite a good angle. You could just see
the work in progress today.
Yeah, right wing is just going off, and we need human sacrifice. The country, the tribe, the set of caves that we live in need this human sacrifice. So, and we did it, and then we stopped doing it. And it's interesting why we did it, because I find it not only it's obviously immoral, but there's an illogicality which I explain in the show to it.
So, have you come down after doing the research on this, Eddie? Are you for or against human sacrifice?
Well, I'm a tad.
I'm
going to
put you on the spot here.
A tad against it. I do actually. I can't even see the. No, I'm completely against it. But it's actually illogical. It's illogical. And because you should be praising gods, these floaty, invisible people who never come down and help in an earthquake. Have you noticed?
Right.
I have noticed that no god from any religion, it's very equal on this, has ever come down at any earthquake, any tsunami ever in the history of the entire world. There's no pictures, there's no record, there's no, and then the hell happened and the god turned up and he said, terribly sorry about this, I'll sweep up, I've got a dustpan and brush and everything. So, it's me and my complaint against the invisible deities.
Although, if we've ever lived in a time where there are plenty of candidates that you would have no problem doing human sacrifice on, now's the time. There's a lot of people.
Meaning there's
there
people that need to be sacrificed.
Yeah, that I don't think anyone would step up and fight for.
Yeah, I think it's just taking them out. Hitler was the classic example.
And then Honey Boo Boo. I mean, if you want to bring it right to today, right?
No, I don't even know this one. I just... So I shouldn't even ask about this, should
Jesus.
I?
Are you serious? You don't know who Honey Boo Boo is?
And I don't really want to know because I know it's a dangerous
disease.
You spend
a lot of time in America. How can you not have heard of her? She's America's princess.
I don't think you would
but
like her.
But has that been like a six-month thing or is that just last
two
weeks?
Oh, no, it's a six-month thing.
Oh, it's a six-month thing. No, I have managed to avoid that until now.
You're fine.
I now have the disease.
You're fine.
I think you'll be okay without it.
Okay. Let me ask you this, since you're a Hollywood insider.
First of all, would you consider yourself a Hollywood insider?
No, I consider myself a Hollywood freelancer. freeloader.
Okay.
A Hollywood edge belt winner. No, it doesn't make sense. I'm sort of, I know Hollywood. I know people here, but I'm not right in the inside going, I'm picking up the phone and talking to people with egg on their face. But
okay, but because you know people in Hollywood, did you watch with great interest the Oscar nominations this morning?
No, I didn't. I let them get on with that, and until I'm involved with the thing, I just let them get on with that. Because I love films. I do love films, and I was 7 when I wanted to act, and 10 when I realized that you could do films. I used to break into film studios when I was 15. I broke into L Street and Pinewood Studios.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is it true that
do what? Just to watch?
No, to try and get a gig.
Is it true that you were in New Zealand? You tried to get in the
no.
That's
a false thing. I think they've merged the one where I used to break into film studios into this one. I was basically touring when the first Lord of the Rings was being filmed, and I suddenly realized, oh, they're filming it. I'd have liked to have auditioned for that. Ah. In fact, there's actually no roles in Lord of the Rings or The Hobbit that would be suitable for me.
No, I read online, and I believe everything I read online.
Yeah,
tried to break in and get a part.
No, that's morphed it. It's the British studios that I broke into when I was 15.
So what happened to you? Did you get found out just lurking about?
Yeah, well, what I did was it was quite elaborate. I was thinking, how do I get into films? I'm sitting here, I'm not connected with anyone in any industry, even in amateur dramatics. And I started watching the credits, and I realized the credits have information on. So I started studying all the credits as they came down. You couldn't stop it. You couldn't freeze it. There were VHSs, right?
Right.
So I was reading that, and I read Pinewood Studios, Ivor Heath Bucks, and I thought, Ivor Heath Bucks. Now, Bucks is a shortened down version of Buckinghamshire. So I thought, okay, that's a county. I need to get a map. So I bought a map, and it had a list of every town in the entire UK.
Wow.
Oh,
I walked down Ivor Heath. There's this weird little village, and I worked out how to go to London without telling anyone, take a train to London, a tube train, an underground train to Uxbridge, a bus to Ivor Heath, and I got out and I walked up to the studio, and I presented myself at the gate saying, I have to come in.
How'd that work out for you?
They said, go away. They didn't say these words, go away, small person.
Right.
But I'm a stronger version of go away. Go away, using letters that
you must have been crestfallen after all of that work.
Well, I was, so I refused to go. So I actually left the main entrance, and then I walked up, and I thought there must be some other way of getting in, and I found there's another entrance, more of a working entrance where vehicles were going in, people with clipboards were walking in, and I realized that no one was really checking if you walked in with confidence.
Right.
So I decided to, at 15, just arrange my jacket in a certain way, and I strode in to Pinewood, and then I was in, and then I couldn't stop walking. I had to keep moving, because if you stop and you look around, everyone thinks he shouldn't be here.
He's out of place.
So I had to keep moving quite fast around Pinewood Studios trying to be found. And I wanted
to lost so much weight that summer.
Yeah, that didn't really work out either, because I got to the Bond studio. The Bond stage was
really?
There. And I was there, and there were people talking inside, and I thought, now if I go in, they're going to say, why are you here? Then I'll get thrown out. But if I don't go in, then how can I get discovered? Because I'm just wandering around at quite a speed. And I in the end, I didn't do it. But I had this amazing walk around.
You didn't go into the Bond studio.
No, it was weird. But then Jerry Weintraub, who made all the Ocean's movies, later on, I did another film with him, and I told him this story. And so he phoned ahead when I was actually filming in Pinewood to the doorman to get me to be greeted in. So there's this wonderful story that he'd phoned ahead, and when they just given me the role in this film, and I was coming up to the studio, and they pulled up, and they said, we're here with Mr. Izzard. Do you have a message for Mr. Izzard? And the bloke at the gate went, what? Do you have a message from Mr. Izzard? What? Is there anything? Oh, yeah. Stay. He couldn't remember. It was this complete, great, beautiful idea, but it just, the guy was, I think we've got to kill you. No, you've been made king of China. I don't, hello, you owe me a fiver? Something like this. So that was my thing. And every time I go back to Pinewood, they've actually moved the entrance now, and I go back and I just stare at the gates where I walked up to.
See, kids, never give up on your dreams.
Never give up.
No.
Exactly.
My motto is, it's based on the Apollo moon landings, and it's if you shoot for the stars, you can reach the moon.
There you go.
Eddie Izzard, as he says, is here in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show. Work in progress at the Largo tonight. You know how tiny that place is, so definitely get your tickets, okay? Tickets available at largo-la.com, and then Monday and Tuesday for the next couple weeks, too. More with Eddie right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. In the studio with us this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, a man to whom we will forever be grateful for headlining our April Foolishness 2012. Eddie Izzard is here. He's performing at the Largo. Eddie, you just told us two shows each night at the Largo,
yes,
right? That's a sweet deal.
It's a new thing. I used to have a complete moratorium on doing two shows. I only did one show.
And why? Why did
well,
you have
because
that moratorium?
You can get confused in the show. You can think, did I just say this or did I just say this an hour ago in the other show? It's a little confusing. It's a little overzealous. But I am developing this new show. So the more I relax, the more out of my head I get, the more you can reach. Because great creativity is between self-indulgence. The line between self-indulgence and great creativity is there, somewhere in that bit where you let go. And I don't write it. I sort of improvise it. So I'm just running through stuff and then going, oh, yeah, what about this? Like what I was talking about there.
Right.
Whatever that point I made earlier about
self-indulgence. Sure, was fascinating.
Yes, which I forgot about it.
Human sacrifice?
Yeah, but there was a point I made in it, which I can't remember what it was. But that's it. I say
the
these
gods.
Things. Sorry?
It was about the gods.
I know. It was about
do you have a stenographer in the front row keeping track of stuff? Because
I record everything.
Oh, you do? Okay.
But then I don't listen to it back.
Excellent. Good work. Good use of technology, Eddie.
Every few, I listen to them back. I say, that was a good one. Okay, record that one. And then I listen to that one back.
Largo-LA.com is where you want to go to get tickets. It's only $25 to see Eddie up close in personal. I want to ask you a quick follow-up question about what we were talking about your passion to break into acting as a teenager. When you then discovered comedy, did you fall in love with comedy the same way and that put acting on the back burner? Because you clearly have continued to do both your whole career.
This is a very interesting point. Age seven, I saw a play. I thought, I'm going to do that really strongly. I'm going to act. This is what I'm going to do. Couldn't really tell parents because they weren't going to be into it. Age of 10 or 11, I realized that films existed and I thought, these things, those are the things. I'm definitely going to do films. That is it. And this was drama. And then I was getting no roles at school, either because I wasn't any good or because they couldn't see I was brilliant and they just...
Probably the second one.
I think it's halfway in between.
Too brilliant.
Or maybe, actually, I was terrible. then I discovered Monty Python and realized that they wrote and gave themselves their own roles, the big roles in the show. Self-nepotism, I call it.
Right.
And I thought, through self-nepotism, I can write my own show and give myself a big lead role, and then I'm off. So I start, and I also got into puberty and...
girls at some point?
Well, it was... Guys. Well, I've got girls, but also, you know, not feeling... I'd stopped playing sports. I went to a school that didn't play soccer anymore, and soccer was my big game, so I had nothing really to be proud of, and I was just a spotty kid, teenager. So I lost all the ability to think, hey, I'm the guy that you should be going out with me. I should be the lead role. And I thought, but I can do the comedic version of that. So I lost a lot of self-confidence there, and I dumped drama and I went for comedy. But then when it took ages for my comedy to take off, and I was about 30 and the comedy started happening, I thought, I will do drama as well at the same time.
You're a fickle person.
I have advanced planning. I had two separate agents. I had a comedy agent and a drama agent in London pushing for two separate roles. And that's why I do dramas like The Riches and Treasure Island and things that I've just been doing.
Look, I don't know anything about... show business, and I know that it's incredibly difficult to be successful at anything, but I'm surprised that you haven't gone the route of a Ricky Gervais or a Larry David and just created something that you can star in that would be give you the opportunity to do as much drama or comedy as you'd want to do.
Well, I do Riches. I was one of the exec producers in The Riches when that happened on FX. I was developing another one. I started working. I am now in stages of development. I have a script for another show that I was doing, and that was a drama show, but getting it right in the line so it's picked up and it's all put into place is always kind of tricky. So there's that.
Understood.
And then I just did Treasure Island that I was the exec producer on, and a film called Lost Christmas as well, which came out. So some things which are more indie and are not necessarily seen by everyone, but I am a relentless pushing person, so I'm not quite at the getting nominated stage. But
I want to share this with our listeners too, because Eddie was telling us during the commercial break where his plans are taking him in 2013. Name a few of those countries you're going to be taking this new show.
Well, this show, I'm going to be starting in Paris in French, and then I will be going to Berlin in English, Moscow in English, St. Petersburg in English, which is interesting. All the kids are learning English, so it's great. Kathmandu, Delhi, Mumbai, Sarajevo, Belgrade, Helsinki. It is the most extensive comedy tour ever, I am claiming.
Sure.
I like to claim it.
You can say that, and who could fact check?
But I don't think, because American comics don't really want to play the world. They think, well, America's a big place, let's play America.
Right,
so
right.
It's really just the Europeans that want to do it, and it's got to be English-based because it's really tricky for French people to go around
the
world.
Are any of those cities, do any of them worry you about the audiences and the understanding the comedy and
no, it's, people have already tested. There's an Irish comic called Dylan Moran has already played Moscow. He's played St. Petersburg. He's played Estonia. He went to Kurdistan, I think, as well. So there's people because it's progressive audiences are getting through and the internet is making it great, and Twitter is getting things out there. So people are turning up, and if they don't want to come, they won't come. So it's I think I'm going to a 2,000-seater in Moscow. Which
wow!
Is
awesome.
Oh my god!
And what's the reason you want to play Moscow? I mean, the money's the same as if you played London. Yeah. Why do you want to go there?
There's ego definitely involved in it. Bands play there. Bands tour all around the world. It's fun. It's crazy. I mean, these kids have been learning English since the wall came down. It's great to... I grew up not seeing any Russians. It's great to get there and to meet some Russian guys who say, I found this funny and I like the surreal nature of it and I liked Monty Python beforehand. It's building bridges. You know, I'm planning to get into politics later on to do an Al Franken.
That's right.
And so I want to make... I want to get out there. I find it fascinating. I think it's beautiful. And
you find people fascinating too. Yeah. That's one of the things I love about you.
When
you went to South Africa over the summer, I mean, you spent tons of time talking to South Africans. I mean, that was part of the thing. It was well documented.
I was running through South Africa and meeting these people from the homeland of Nelson Mandela, you know, from where he grew up, and saying that I'm running marathons for you know, in his to celebrate him. So I do find people. We are amazing people. I mean, about 80-90% of us are very interesting. 10% of us I could leave behind quite happily.
Well, those are for the sacrificing to the gods.
Exactly. If they could possibly volunteer.
And we come full circle. The Largo is.
Do you
the
mind
place
if
where-
I steal that I'm running marathons for Nelson Mandela? Do you mind if I just tell people that just for own benefit?
Well, no, I did. I was planning to do 27 marathons.
Did.
Oh, what you're going to do it as well?
I just want to steal it.
Yes, you
he
can.
Wants to tell people he's doing that.
It sounds cool.
Yes, no, do it. Okay, do it if right. you wish. Anyone could run things for Nelson Mandela.
By the way, and I think, no offense here, Eddie, but I think you should be able to outrun Nelson Mandela. He's like 95 years old.
I don't think it was a race.
Not really, I'm just saying it's not that impressive to put an old man out on the street and make him run. That's
it was
all.
In honor. 27 years in prison, and I was attempting to do 27 marathons in 27 days.
Oh, my
and,
God.
Well, certainly, of course you were. Why wouldn't you be?
I failed last time after 4, and I will retry and go back and do it again.
Really?
All right. We're
see,
out of
you've
time.
Tried. As far as I'm concerned, check that box and move on.
No. It's Nelson pushed for many years, many decades.
Yes.
So it's right for me to go back and finish.
But you're not as good as he is. He persevered and won.
Exactly. He got there. He is this great thing. He is a living
God. You don't
God.
Have to. You do not have to live up to him.
He's a very interesting person because back in the day, we would have said this person is a God, you know? But he says he's a real human being. He just tried hard and stuck to his guns. And so he's one of the greatest people who's ever lived in my book.
Well, he sure looks like Morgan Freeman. I know that. That's what I know from that movie.
I know. It's great Morgan Freeman playing.
Largo-LA.com is the website. You should immediately go there and get some tickets for 2 shows tonight and then on Monday and Tuesday for the next couple of weeks. Eddie Izzard on stage at the Largo in LA. You know you are welcome anytime you're in town. We love having you stop by, Eddie. Thank you so much for coming by.
Great to be here.
I always look forward to talking to our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky every Thursday here on the Kevin and Bean Show. But now, more than ever, because you can't turn on the news these days without hearing that we're all going to be killed by the flu. I mean, this is a serious outbreak. It's in like 85% of the country right now. I mean, it's insane, and people are literally dying. Hey, yeah. Doc, how are you, man?
How are you, Bean?
I'm not lying. It's one of the worst flu outbreaks I can ever remember hearing about. That's what's going on, right?
Well, I mean, be careful with the media. As always, they amplify everything and make it seem like this is the one that's...
This is Armageddon. Admit it.
Here it comes. So far, it actually had been a little bit slower than usual. It just came on fast more recently, and they're suspecting that it may hit harder than they thought. And the other thing, you know, obviously, it is primarily spread by your hands. You've got to wash your hands. So, Bean, don't shake any hands, Kevin. Don't shake any hands, right?
Right.
We all got to become like Howie Mandel. And then wash your hands regularly, and don't get your hands to your face. Although there also are particulate transmission for people that, say, sneeze in a closed environment.
Is this different than any other flu?
No, I mean, each year it's slightly different. 2 years ago we had that H1N1 outbreak, and I actually got that.
Had the bird flu, right? Oh, was that the bird flu?
Yeah, and it was just awful. It was horrible, and now we're covering that. And we think the vaccine is a pretty good vaccine, but there's a little bit of controversy out there about how effective it's going to be. So just because you've had the vaccine, this is important, I think, information for people to get, just because you've had the vaccine doesn't mean you're completely protected. You've got a good protection, but there's still somewhere between a 40 and a 10% chance that you could contract it if you come in contact with it.
Now, I want to talk about the vaccine in particular because a lot of people have very strong opinions about whether to get the vaccine or not. But before we even get there, is this true that they create a vaccine every year kind of guessing what they think that year's strain is going to be like, and some years it's just more effective than others?
It's right. It's not guessing. I mean, it's really following the genetic patterns of the various flus that come out, and it's a good science. It's just not a perfect science.
Okay. I see. Okay. And what about the people who say, I don't want to get the flu shot because it will give me the flu? Is that a thing?
That's bizarre. I laugh at that. That's actually bizarre. I mean, that's like, why don't you go ahead and throw the idol in the volcano instead? Just forget about it. Because it's not the flu. It's particles from the flu, and you can't get it. It's proteins that your immune system then sees once it's injected into your body and then builds an immune response should you ever see that protein again. Now, young children get a live attenuated virus, which is the nasal thing. Adults shouldn't be getting that. That's sort of a partially killed virus, a little different. It's more effective, but that's a little bit different. Adults shouldn't be getting
now,
that.
Now, I haven't had the flu shot, should I?
Yeah. Listen, one of my sons hasn't had it. I was just procuring it today. I'm going to go get it for him.
Hell of a doctor. You're
so
a hell of a doctor.
Everybody should get a flu shot.
I think so. Listen, there are lots of benefits. And in fact, some research has shown that above and beyond one study I saw once showed reduced lost work days independent of whether it had a specific effect on the flu. So there may be some more and I don't want to say this is true necessarily, but there may be some more global antiviral effect. You may actually sort of hit some other viruses with these proteins you're being injected with.
All right, what about people who will say, I've never had the flu and I've never had a flu shot. Why should I start now?
Because you've been very lucky. You're going to say, you know, I've never been hit by a car. I should stop looking when I cross the street. I've never had a problem, so I should stop wearing a seatbelt. It's really bizarre. Now, I'm not saying there are no reactions to the vaccines. You'll recall, I've probably given 10,000 flu vaccines out of my career, but there was one. There was one reaction.
Yes.
Now, Lisa remembers.
I do, too.
Yep.
Yeah, Psycho Mike. Mike's head swelled up the size of a pumpkin. it was unbelievable.
But that was worth it, wasn't it?
Little did I know I'd be working with him for a long period after that. But, yeah, it was. It freaked me out because I've never had anybody get any sort of reaction.
Was he allergic?
It's an allergic reaction, right? So when people get a sore arm or start to feel fever, you can get reactions that are not the flu to the vaccine.
King of Mexico says you did something horrible to his girlfriend. You gave her a flu shot and she got super sick, like 102 fever or something. Is that true?
Yeah, right. She had that tissue reaction in her arm. She in the future should be cautious about taking this. And she took antibiotics and she was better in a couple of hours.
He says you gave her the flu.
Dave's a liar, though. We know that.
All right. Last question on this, Dr. Drew, and that is, does it matter where somebody gets a flu shot? I mean, you can go to a doctor, or is it just the same to go to if one of those drug stores is offering it for $20, is that just the same vaccine?
Same vaccine.
Okay.
I don't want to go to a drugstore, though. I see that and I always go.
I do that every year.
I see that and I go, I don't know. It just seems like somebody who's running the register is going to poke me with a needle.
But that seems easier and cheaper than going to a doctor, doesn't it, Kevin?
Totally. Yes.
Actually, it can be more expensive, to tell you the truth. These pharmacies have vaccine programs. They have people that are trained to do the vaccine and pick the right vaccine and stuff. And speaking of this, listen, a couple of things. A lot of the things that people think are the flu are actually the whooping cough this year. Whooping cough is peaking a little bit, too. And so make sure your pertussis vaccine is updated
as well. What the hell is that? How much pertussis?
Yeah, whooping cough.
Come on.
And so a lot of people, when they think that flu, actually have whooping cough or bronchitis because there's right now in this area, that's what I've seen more of than the flu, is this horrible upper respiratory infection and whooping cough.
Dr. Drew is on 5 nights a week on HLN, of course, on your TV. You can hear him on Loveline 5 nights a week on K-Rock. And how's it going with Adam Carolla? You guys are back together doing the Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew podcast.
We couldn't stay apart. We couldn't do it. We tried, but we're married again.
Are you having fun? Are you doing it? I know you're taking calls from all over the world when you do it. It sounds great.
It is great, and it's great to have the old team back together again, and it's like we never were apart. It's really a lot of fun.
What a love story. That's great.
Bert seems a little more bitter these days, though. I sort of talked to him about that.
He's bitter.
Yeah, a little, not just angry and sort of outraged, but a little more edgy. So.
He's always...
That's because he's spending too much time with Bill O'Reilly. How could you not be affected by that, right?
Off on him could be being a father of young kids, so who knows?
Maybe all the traveling. He does too much traveling for me.
Get the podcast at adamcarolla.com. Thank you, Doctor. Great to talk to you, sir.
You're right, Kevin. Thanks, guys.
What's that?
Kevin, you're right. He's traveling too much.
Too much traveling. All right. Thank you, Dr. Drew.
All right, bye.
Bye now.
Coming up in the next 15 minutes or so here on the K-Rock, we've got Muse. Of course, they're in town in a couple of weeks at Staples Center. We also got your chance to qualify to see Linkin Park in Australia. That's happening. And the first Internet Roundup for 2013. All of that right ahead. First, though, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. Good morning, Ralph.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh no!
You sound bummed.
Yeah.
What's happening?
Well, because Honey Boo Boo has a song. Because there's a Honey Boo Boo song now.
You love it. Is it country?
Of course it is.
You love it.
Brad Paisley.
Oh, he's a big star. Really? Big country music star.
Big country star.
Yeah.
Is it a real song?
I think he's trying to be funny.
Oh, okay.
But it's still country and it's still Honey Boo Boo. There's nothing funny about that.
Yeah. Two great tastes that taste great together.
Like, you know, you write a country song with the Holocaust, doesn't make it okay.
I've not heard one of those, but okay.
Well, I'm sure that's next. Just more inappropriate country music coming our way, I'm sure. This was debuted last night on the Jimmy Kimmel Show. Here's the Ballad of Honey Boo Boo from Brad Paisley.
Brad Paisley's new TV theme song.
In the hills of Georgia, at a modest home, lives a sugared up beauty queen, garden gnome.
Here comes Honey Boo Boo.
She'll sing a song, whistle a tune, make ketchup sketty with her mama June.
Here comes Honey Boo Boo.
She's roaming the country, she's on the loose, filled with balls of cheese and go-go juice.
Here comes Honey Boo Boo.
She's fighting for justice and the American way. From the mountaintop she screams,
everybody's a little gay.
That's right. An American hero down to the core. She eats her meals right off the floor.
Here comes Honey Boo Boo.
This is the ballad of Honey Boo Boo.
How can you not like that, Ralph? Come on.
See what he did there? He took all the things from the show and then he put them to a country song.
This is magical.
No, it's not, Uhlhauser. Yule died just in time.
Yeah.
Yule died just in time.
He didn't have to
hear the ballad of Honey Boo Boo. Great gosh. Great gosh almighty. Meanwhile, serious things are happening in the world that no one's addressing.
Like
Lindsay Lohan. Apparently, her thieving ways have returned.
Oh, no.
Here's the thing. She was supposed to do a show called Million Dollar Decorator, where it's like Total Makeover, or one of those extreme makeover shows, whatever, but it's for rich people. Okay. So instead of the guy coming to your house and it got blown away by a tsunami or something, he builds you a new house for you and your 17 kids.
Right.
These people go to rich people's houses, and they do million-dollar decoration.
So they redecorate rich people's houses.
To your house, and then they come in and they have the cameras and they watch you as you're amazed.
Okay.
So they're supposed to do it with Lindsay Lohan. They came in and redid her house, spent $250,000 in furniture alone.
Wow.
Just to renovate her home. And then Lindsay said, no, I'm not interested in doing your program. I don't want to do your TV show.
After they put $250,000?
Yes.
But I'd like to keep the furniture.
Well, that's the thing. The producer's saying, okay, fine, we'd like to have our furniture back, please. And somehow, all of that furniture got sent to a mystery storage locker.
What?
Yeah. Oh, we don't know where it is. It's been stored someplace. We're not quite sure where it is.
Really?
Producers of the show. Yeah.
So I wonder if that storage facility is her house.
This is so Lindsay.
Well, I think she lost that house, and then she had to rent another one or something.
Right? I don't know.
Anyway, they want to know what's up.
Yep.
To make matters worse, she was on the set of Liz and Dick, that horrible TV movie she made about Elizabeth Taylor.
Right.
And apparently, Elizabeth Taylor's longtime nurse donated a bracelet of Elizabeth Taylor's that Elizabeth gave to her before she passed away as a prop to be used on the show.
Right. Wow, I wonder what happened to that bracelet.
Well, it went missing, Kevin.
Wow.
It went missing the same day Lindsay came for a visit.
Wow.
A lot of bad luck just follows that poor young lady around.
Apparently, the bracelet was returned to that nurse the day after she threatened to notify the police that it had been stolen. Suddenly, they found it again, and it was returned.
What are the chances they would find it at that timing?
She was very lucky that the timing worked out.
Wow.
That once she started threatening law enforcement involvement, the bracelet magically
appear. What do you think's going
on
there?
Maybe the furniture will show up again.
What do you think's going on there? You think she literally just says, I want that?
Yes. I think she thinks that she's a star and whatever crosses her eye line, just anything that comes into her gaze,
mine,
immediately becomes her property. Yes. She's like one of those seagulls from Finding Nemo. Mine. And she just puts everything in a gunny sack. Do people still have gunny sacks?
No, but it's a great reference.
There's still gunny sacks around.
I don't even know what they are.
Gunny sack. She's a big gunny sack. It's a big gunt.
Huh. It's unbelievable that that home makeover show, Ralph, that she agrees to be on the show. They come in, they do all the work, they put in, as you mentioned, thousands and thousands of dollars worth of furniture and time. And then she won't even show up for the reveal. She won't even make herself available to be there to shoot the end of the show where she gets to walk around her new house that's been decorated for free.
Why would she do that, being when she already has all the furniture?
Well, I guess that's right.
Your thinking is just cloudy.
Yeah, it's spectacular. Don't have time here to talk about the Oscar nominations. They were released this morning, but you can find them online easily. Real quickly, though, the best films were nominated. 9 films nominated for best film for the Oscars this morning. Here is your collection of best films, according to the people at the Academy of Motion Pictures, Arts, and Sciences. The Beasts of Southern Wild, nominated. Amour, also nominated. These are two foreign films that were nominated this year. From these United States, we've got Silver Linings Playbook, Zero Dark Thirty, Lincoln, Les Mis, Life of Pi, and Django Unchained. Argo, also nominated for Best Film this year. So those are your 9 nominees for Best Feature Film. Today's celebrity birthdays, Sarah Shahi, a good friend from Fairly Legal, which sadly is no more, and she was on Life. I love that Life show.
That was good.
It's also gone, so if you're looking for an actress, I think Sarah's free. I'm just saying.
If you want somebody to come in and kill your show, Sarah Shahi is
here. How dare you, sir? You are well out of order, sir. She is 33 years old. Jemaine Clement from Flight of the Conchords didn't win an Oscar. 39 years old. Evan Handler from Sex and the City and Californication is 52. Kurt Kirkwood of Meat Puppets turns 54 years old today. George Foreman is 64. And singer Pat Benatar also celebrates a birthday today. She's 60. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Hey, guys, it's Skipping.
That's part
something
of the song.
Something's skipping there, guys. Something wrong with the song. Deck. I don't know what's happening here.
That's how the song goes. Muse coming to Staples Center. When is it? January 23rd, I want to say?
3rd, 4th, and 26th. First two are sold out. Tickets still available for the 26th. If you want to see Muse, you should. They are great live. And Band of Skulls, another very good band, is opening up. So you can get tickets through Ticketmaster for that. Welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show here for a Thursday. We are going to talk all things Oscar nominations with a writer from the Los Angeles Times coming up in about 10 minutes, including the, I think, a surprise for a lot of people that Ben Affleck and Catherine Bigelow both snubbed in the Best Director category for their films Argo and the Zero Dark Thirty. I mean, those were considered locks by a lot of people.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that coming up. First, though, how about for 2013, the very first Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup?
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Laugh so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Go to KevinandBean.com. You can see all of these videos, one right after the other. The first one that we're going to feature is a drive-through invisible driver prank. This guy builds a car seat so that he can fit in behind it.
And then why?
Why? I don't know. It's funny. So basically, he hides in the seat. It looks like there's no one in the car. So he'll order food and then go through a drive-through and pulls up to the window, and you see these people watch a car pull up and stop at the window with no one in it.
That's pretty awesome.
Freak out. It's awesome.
Let's see how people react when a car with no driver rolls up to their drive-thru window.
Really?
Am I tripping,
stuff? Oh, snap. What is happening?
It's funny.
I love her reaction. Really?
Really? Like, this is something I don't need to add to my day.
I love the woman who said, Instagram that bitch.
That's right. The flip side is the next one. This is where they reenact a bar scene as if guys were girls and girls were guys.
Those are amazing jeans. They would look so much better on my bedroom floor.
What do you guys like to drink?
Raspberry kamikaze.
Raspberry kamikaze. That sounds good.
We have a couple friends that would like some too.
All right. Okay. All right.
I like that. That's funny.
It does make guys look really stupid, by the way.
Yeah. Mike Realm, one of our favorite remixers, he's done, this is called Bitch, the Key and Peele remix. And it's genius like everything else he does.
Bitch. I'm the man of the house.
I said, bitch.
It's unbelievable.
Key and Peele, they have that sketch show over on Comedy Central, I want to say, and they say bitch a lot, and I guess that's what inspired him. But, man, he's so good. The fact that he can do it with the video and the audio time after time after time, he blows me away, Mike Realm.
You know those commercials for the Humane Society where they show you really, really sad pictures of animals?
Can't watch them.
Please
can't
adopt.
Watch them.
Please adopt.
Yeah.
Please adopt.
I fast forward or change channels.
A lot
can't
of times it's a star, usually a woman, sometimes Sarah McLachlan. So this particular one is called Please Trade for Pau Gasol because he looks really sad.
Hi, I'm Sarah McLachlan, asking you to please trade for Pau Gasol. He's miserable in Los Angeles and needs your help. Do the right thing.
Which is very funny.
Pal's being abused playing for the Lakers.
Robert Sacker. Sacra. I don't even know his name. I'm a Laker fan.
Sacra.
Sacre is what I meant. He apparently was the last person picked in the draft. And ESPN did a very funny piece. Now that pretty much the entire big lineup for the Lakers are out with injury, this guy is playing. Which is a shame because on the bench, he's super funny to watch because he dances and he's got this cheer and he's jumping up and down and he's going crazy. And they show clip after clip after clip of him on the bench. And they're
he's like a super fan. I mean, he's like a guy like Clipper Darrell. You'd see him in the stands just going crazy over his team. He just happens to be on the team.
Unfortunately, now he's playing, which is good for him, but bad for the bench.
Take a look at what we got going on the end of the Laker bench. It's a combination of maybe some Mortal Kombat. I think I see a little bit of Yosemite Sam thrown in there. Maybe even some Marky Mark. But this has been the best show in the league that no one has talked about.
It's a great clip because it'll show Kobe shooting a three-pointer and it goes in. And then you can see him in the background bounce off the bench and just start going crazy.
Yeah.
Then he's in the game and the bench just sits there. Here's a guy who's not thrilled with being on a cruise ship.
Hey, I'm here on a cruise ship. Let me give you the tour. Adult pool, indoor pool, outdoor pool, chessboard, pool bar, another bar, ice cream bar, coffee bar, sports court, ocean.
That guy is not easily impressed. I thought that cruise ship looked awesome. I wanted to live on it.
You guys remember we talked about Al Roker and how he shared way too much about being in the White House and pooping his pants.
Yeah,
he was a few weeks past his gastric bypass surgery, and he thought he was just going to fart, and a little more than that came out, and this led to this reveal on Dateline NBC.
You pooped in your pants.
I pooped my pants.
And it's not real until it's a remix.
Not horribly, but enough that I knew.
Which is a common side effect of this surgery.
Exactly. And so, I was panicking, so I got to the restroom of the press room, threw out the underwear, and just went commando.
So nothing really happens until there's a remix. I swear I should have said that.
You pooped in your pants.
I pooped my pants.
Come on, everybody, do the dookie dance.
You pooped in your pants.
I pooped my pants.
Come on, everybody, do the dookie dance.
So I threw out the underwear, and just went commando. Went commando.
Yeah, those are brilliant, too. I love those remixes as well.
Oh, my God.
Well. Billy on the Street is something that I have not seen. Maybe I'm the last person to it. But it's a dude on the internet. I guess he has a show on Fuse as well. It's quite funny. He plays different games. One of them he's playing in this video called Would Drew Barrymore Like That? Now, there's no reason for it. There's no real – he has answers, but there's no way to tell. You're just guessing.
Based on nothing.
Yeah. So he finds Will Ferrell. So now Billy and Will play Would Drew Barrymore Like That?
Will Ferrell.
Drew Barrymore would like Will Ferrell.
No, Drew Barrymore hates you. I'm sorry to tell you that. I love you. You're like my comedy hero. Drew Barrymore can't stand you. Hearing singing.
What?
Hearing singing.
Hearing singing?
Yes. Hearing somebody sing! Yeah.
Drew Barrymore would like hearing singing.
That's correct! You win, Will Ferrell! Let's see his prize! Oh, it's a cat scratch post!
Yeah!
Yes!
This is bitchin'.
He sure is screaming in Will Ferrell's face for no reason.
It's really funny because it's so absurd. Birds. How do you know if Drew Barrymore likes it or not? It's an absurd thing, but it's real funny. Go to kevinandme.com for the internet roundup. The final one that we have is from Jimmy Kimmel's show, and he likes to put together celebrities that read mean tweets. In this particular example, each celebrity reads a tweet that's super mean about them. So we've got Selena Gomez, we've got Larry King, we've got Dr. Phil, and we've got Tom Arnold, the real people reading these mean tweets about them.
Celebrities read mean tweets.
Selena Gomez is on the radio right now. Is there a volume lower than mute? Sorry.
I saw Larry King at dinner.
but it might have been just a run-of-the-mill goblin.
Dr. Phil, why don't you shut the f*** up, you bald-headed, big-mouth hillbilly?
Tom Arnold, you're an inspiration to all fat dumps who love cocaine and who love to f*** fat, disgusting chicks. You're welcome.
Those are funny. Awesome, by the way. And I'm so happy that Dr. Phil read my tweet.
And don't forget, Jimmy Kimmel is on at 11:35 now and is doing quite well. So check that out and check out the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup at KevinandBean.com.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday Kevin and Bean Show. What the hell is going on?
Well, I'm going to give you kids a little reward for tuning in to the Kevin and Bean Show today. How about passes to a K-Rock advance screening of a much-anticipated film, the new Guillermo del Toro horror film called Mama. Oh,
this looks so good.
What's going on over here, Mom?
This looks so good.
Oh, it looks terrifying.
Oh, love it.
No, I hate it.
Love it.
Terrifying.
Can't wait.
I can watch anything. I can watch anything except scary kids and horror movies.
They're the scariest.
It's just paralyzing. It's just brutal. Jessica Chastain stars in this film. Here's basically the premise. A young woman and her husband have to raise his young nieces when they are found left alone in a forest after 5 years. How did they survive, these two little kids, with Mama being gone? Maybe she's not gone!
Ah!
They find these kids. They're just like, they're feral. They're just like chewing holes in the couch and like living
Sorry,
in
what
the
were
baseboard.
The sounds they were making?
Terrifying, and then they try to, you know, bring them back to acceptable society, but Mama has other plans.
That's right. She's not going to have it.
Oh, terrifying. If you'd like to see this terrifying film before anybody else gets terrified, call right now, 1-800-520-1067. We're doing a special K-Rock advance screening on January the 15th next week at the AMC Burbank 16, and Mama will be in theaters everywhere Friday, January the 18th, so you can check it then, even if you don't win. While we're talking about movies, today's a big day in film because, of course, the Oscar nominations were announced early this morning. In case you missed them, here's a quick recap of the nominations in the biggest categories. For Best Supporting Actress, Sally Field is nominated for her work as Mary Todd Lincoln in the film Lincoln. Anne Hathaway, I dreamed a dream that was a dream, and then I saw that I was dreaming.
Is that
but
the song?
It was only dreams that are the dreams of dreaming dreamers.
That's not it. Ralph, I have a clip of the song that she's saying.
Oh, you
hear
did?
It. Yeah, okay. If you'd like to hear that.
Balls, 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 balls.
You can see why she's nominated.
I don't think that's the song from Les Mis.
Oh.
It's got Oscar all over it, that.
Jackie Weaver from Silver Linings Playbook, Helen Hunt, and Amy Adams, also nominated for their work in The Sessions and The Master, respectively. Best Supporting Actor, Christoph Waltz for Django Unchained, Philip Seymour Hoffman for The Master, Robert De Niro for Silver Linings Playbook, Alan Arkin for Argo. There's a lot of R sounds in that.
Yeah.
Tommy Lee Jones for Lincoln, your Best Supporting Actor nominations. Best Actress, Naomi Watts for The Impossible. Jessica Chastain, we just mentioned her. She's in Mama. She was also in Zero Dark Thirty, and they got her nominated. Jennifer Lawrence for Silver Linings Playbook. Emmanuel Riva for Amour. And Kwavunzene Wallace for Beasts of the Southern Wild. Best Actor, Daniel Day-Lewis for Lincoln. Denzel Washington for Flight. Hugh Jackman for Les Mis. Bradley Cooper, Silver Linings Playbook. And Joaquin Phoenix for The Master. Here are your nominations for Best Feature Film, The Beasts of the Southern Wild, Silver Linings Playbook, Zero Dark Thirty, Lincoln, Les Mis, Life of Pi, Amour, Django Unchained, and Argo are your nine nominations for Best Film of the Year. So,
Amour.
What do you got against love, man?
Did you see it, Kevin?
No, of course not.
Why does Kevin hate
Amour?
Looks too sad for me. I don't know if I want to see old people die.
Are you kidding? That's what you live for.
That's your life.
It's all you want.
But this is like a slow, painful death. Like, you got to take care of this old lady in her remaining months kind of thing. It's not like quick and funny like I like. I mean, if it were a movie where there was an old 85-year-old walking down the street, got killed by an anvil coming out of the sky, I'm down for that.
Hit by
a
bus.
I don't want to see her suffering. You know what I mean?
Emmanuel Riva, by the way, star of that film, is 85 years old. Oldest actress ever nominated for Best Actress Oscar. And Quvenzhané Wallace, at the age of 9, is the youngest actress there to be nominated for that category.
You know that older woman's going, I got to get this
You'll
one
have another chance.
I'm never going to have another chance.
How about giving grandma some? She's asking, and rightly so.
Hey, Gloria Stewart was close to that when she got nominated for Titanic, and didn't she live like about another 10 years after that?
Yeah, but that was a supporting actress she was nominated for.
Right,
for
right.
The actress category, she is by far the oldest. And I hope she wins.
I hope she survives till the ceremony.
That's the other side of the coin.
Yeah, there's that.
That would also be a win, I guess.
That's the bean side.
Dave King Mexico's losing his mind in the other room now that he knows there's something better than HD. You know how Dave loves his HD TV.
He got HD, and from that moment on, he would not watch anything that was not in HD.
And, luckily for us, would not stop talking about anything but HD television.
That's correct.
And complaining that every show that wasn't in HD should be in HD.
Oh, I like that show, but it's not in HD.
Why is Amazing Rice not in HD?
At first we would say, what's Amazing Rice?
But guys, look, I know you're clowning on Dave. It is unacceptable in 2013 to not have something in HD, right?
It's great, it's preferable, but
you watch
a show regardless.
You watch it either way.
I wrote a strongly worded letter to the local news over the holidays. It's not a joke. I wrote them a strongly worded letter and said, why is your newscast at CBS News in Seattle, why is your newscast in brilliant HD, but every time you show football clips, NFL clips, recapping the sports for the weekend, they look like 1940s NFL films? What the hell's going on over there?
How'd that work out for you?
I hope they wrote back appropriately, go F yourself. Love CBS television.
They
I hope that's what they
back,
responded with.
And they say, unless the games are on CBS, we just tape them off the TV on a VCR. That's how we get our clips for the news, is we literally tape the games on a TV in the newsroom.
F you, love CBS.
That's why they look so bad. So at least I got an answer. At least now I know why they're not in HD. But I'm with Dave. It's crazy to not have everything in
right,
HD.
Right, but now there's, what did you call it, Ultra HD?
Well, I haven't got to that part of the story yet, but now they've announced at the Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas a brand new technology, Ultra HD TV, coming from our good friends at Samsung. It is, they say, a statement piece, their new model. Ultra HD, the future of television, offers four times the pixel count of 1080p high definition.
Wow.
Four times more clarity, they claim. You can pick one up later this year. They go on sale. A mere $20,000 will get you a new Ultra HD TV. You can pick one up. Get one for every room in the house.
I wonder if the people who complained about how realistic The Hobbit looked in the 48 frames per second are going to complain about this TV, too.
Hmm. Too lifelike?
Yeah.
Giving them all kinds of seizures. I love that people get seizures from watching television.
Yeah.
Kim Kardashian and Kanye West have moved to a nicer neighborhood than, I don't know, where was she before? Awesome Town or something? Where was she living? Where that bogus church her mother runs is?
Calabasas. Yeah.
They've just moved to Bel Air, California. Home to a bunch of celebrities and some sheiks. Bel Air, California. They just got themselves a 10,000 square foot mansion. It's a little place they can raise their youngin. They got everything a kid needs, like a movie theater and a hair and makeup salon and a bowling alley and a gym and two pools.
You gotta have two
a little
pools.
Romantic love nest for Kim Ye. They plunked down $11 million for this new home. $11 million.
Probably cash.
Dollars.
I think you do pay cash when it's in that amount.
Do you?
You don't get loans.
Can I just write you a check?
She carries that much in her ass. Are you kidding me? She just squatted down and just dropped some stacks. Just dropped mad stacks.
That's a lot of
questions. It wasn't green at the time.
Nope.
Came out, but,
I think we get it.
I don't think you do.
I do.
And this is a good person, this Angelina Jolie. She's a nice lady. She had been working with a longtime wardrobe assistant for many years, and that woman was recently diagnosed with breast cancer. So Angelina did not bat an eye. She immediately wrote the young woman a check. And no, doesn't say exactly how much it was here, but it covered all of her living expenses and all of her medical expenses.
Wow.
And guaranteed that she would have a job when she was able to work again after her treatment. So Angelina Jolie stepping up and taking care of one of her employees.
That's pretty cool.
Which is very cool. I like her.
I do too.
Yeah. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Sarah Shahi from Fairly Legal and Life is 33 years old today. Remember how earlier this morning I was complaining that no one had immediately hired her once Fairly Legal went up the air?
Yes.
Yeah. Turns out Sarah Shahi has just announced will be joining the cast of Person of Interest.
I love that show.
I know you do.
Really? She's going to be on that?
Join the cast. That's how quickly I make things happen in Hollywood. I say someone should hire Sarah Shahi immediately. And immediately, what do? They hire her. And put her on a TV series.
I heard Dave talking about that yesterday.
Nope.
You did not.
Okay. She's 33 years old today. Jemaine Clement from Flight of the Conchords. Actor, comedian, musician. He was very funny in the third Men in Black. I don't know if you saw that or not. Played the bad guy in that film. It was very entertaining. 39 years old. Evan Handler, Sex and the City and Californication. 52 years old. Kurt Kirkwood of Meat Puppets is 54. George Foreman, former heavyweight boxing champion of the world. 64 years old today. I think he's got one more comeback in him.
I think he should get back
in the ring one last time.
That would not be good.
I think he could take Klitschko.
I doubt it.
And,
I mean, he could take Ali.
Wow. We were having fun right till then.
And singer Pat Benatar celebrates her 60th birthday today. Hit me a little Patty B, will you?
Heaven was the best shot. Why don't you hit me with your best shot?
You know, just rock your world in bed. You just got sense of that when you listen to her saying, yeah, fine, whatever. You want to do that? You want to tie me up? You want to hang me from the chandelier? Bring it. Hit me with your best shot. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show biz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We got Movie Beat because it is Friday. We have LaQuisha taking a look at Buck Wild. Looking forward to that, as is LaQuisha. We have Steve Howie from this TV show Shameless on the program. We have Cousin Sal taking a look at the NFL weekend. And a brand new 2013 edition of Thanks for That Info Bean.
Oh,
how dare you!
Can't
how
wait.
Dare you!
Which may be stronger than ever tomorrow morning on an all new.